week, Sega does what Nintendo and improves it with an official collaboration between Sonic Forces and Hooters. Hopefully this goes better than when they partner with Soap Shoes. We have plenty more news from the week in gaming, and it all starts right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight with episode number 701 for this September the 24th of 2017. My name is Rob Roberts. You might know me on Twitter at Sky, S-K-I-E. I am joined in studio every week, each and every week, with Dark Sakura, usually. But sadly, she's not here tonight. Dark Sakura, or Jamie Summers, is recovering from a cold, some type of sick. I think it was a cold. I'm a bad friend. I don't remember exactly what it is she had.
I guess stomach flu or something.
Yes. Oh, maybe. So whatever it was, it sounded like it was bad. So we hope she feels better soon. She said she's feeling better today, but she still is kind of like, I don't really want to get you guys sick. And, you know, doing the show, it does take a little bit of energy and so forth. So Dark Soccer just wants to take the night off to get better. And we understand that. And the voice you just heard there, of course, joining me here, Techmaster Loki.
Hello, I'm here.
Hi, Loki. How are you?
I'm fine.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Not sick. That's good, right?
I think just allergies, but other than that, yeah.
No. What else is new living here in lovely Sacramento, California, where our show is based?
Yeah.
That would be the capital, folks, if you've never heard of it. Arnold Schwarzenegger once had a job here. It was in the news for that. Anyway, and you're full of breadsticks tonight.
Yep.
Your favorite carby
dinner.
Again,
you know, they're quoting 20 minutes, and it takes 40 minutes for them to make fucking breadsticks that I know takes 5 minutes to make. It's because they're going to be under new management. They had a sign that said, you know, they got sold to another corporation.
Yeah, I was going to say, when the last time you were there, you said, I'm not going back there anymore. And here
well, I wasn't going to go back there yet. And I decided, because, you know, I was going to pick something else to eat. And then I was like, I can't decide what I want. So I was like, okay, I'll just do breadsticks. I'll give them another go. And sure enough, they fuck it up again. It's like, dude, you guys, come on. I'm like, I can see you guys back there just fucking off. Like, they're just, you're just like talking and it's, not hurting.
Something
there's
the
no hustle.
Something the listeners should understand is that you're not just being one of those, I'd like to speak to your manager individuals, but you actually used to work at the same pizza chain.
Yes, I used
was like
to
your,
work.
That was your minimum wage job.
It wasn't like, it wasn't at this particular, you know,
yeah,
round
you worked
table,
in the chain.
But it was
yeah.
Another one. I did everything from like, washing dishes to working the counter to making pizzas to breaking down the oven and cleaning it.
You did it all.
To management. I was a shift manager at one time.
Oh my God, guys, can you imagine Loki as your boss?
I yelled a lot, yes. It was a mutual understanding.
So we do tape live every Sunday night at the Voice of Geeks Network, VogNetwork.com, at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. And speaking of Bobby, he was having a conversation on his show tonight. He was talking about a big topic in gaming tonight, which we'll get into a little bit later, about the whole deal that's going on with Player Unknown Battlegrounds, which is a show, a game that obviously I've seen it, that it's popular on Twitch.
It's only $29.99, apparently.
And usually when I drop in on streams, I'm kind of like, I don't really get it. But I've had more and more people, especially, you know, since we have a Discord server now that's actually been fairly active. And if you want to join our Discord server, please, over at vognetwork.com/Discord, you can join in. More and more people are saying, like, Rob, you should really check this game out. Well, sadly, I didn't do that this week. But I did go and I watched some more streamers and I kind of like made myself watch a little more of it. And I was like, okay, I'm, you know, trying to I get this game a little more. But something that Bobby brought up on his show tonight was the whole tagline that you get for winning, the winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is,
it's awesome.
That's a common saying out there. I don't know. Is that like a regional thing? Is it or do they say that far and wide? Would they know what I mean in Canada if I said that little jingle, winner, winner, chicken? I don't know. Like, is that worldwide? I don't know. But I was thinking in your case, Loki, maybe like the game should allow you to customize. Maybe that could be a microtransaction, bum bum, that you could pick your own dinner. And so, Loki, when you win in PUBG, you could get winner, winner, breadstick dinner.
I'm fine with chicken. It makes more sense. We don't need to appeal to a mass audience here.
What about a winner, winner, turducken dinner? Winner, winner, bacon dinner? I feel like there's a market here that PUBG creators should be listening to.
No, No, because they already have microtransactions in the game.
Well, as I said, we do tape live Sunday nights at the Voice Geeks Network, and you guys can chat along with us and participate with our show, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, and we invite you guys to sit down with us every week over at live.vognetwork.com, where we do have our live chatters going. Come on, Nolga starts us off tonight saying, I can relate, Loki. I used to work at a Starbucks, and I can't stand when baristas don't steam milk the way that they are trained to do it. Oh, man, I went into a Starbucks once with my friend that used to work at one, and I swear she was about to have a breakdown because everything was disorganized in the store. Like, well, stuff right. was everywhere, like, and she was like, how the fuck are they getting away with this?
And usually it works to their benefit because I'm more patient because I understand.
Yeah.
I've been there. I'm not going to get mad at you because it's not in your control. But, dude, I mean, come on. Like, there's a guy, like, he's like, I need a box. I just need a small box. And the guy that's, like, cutting, you know, the pizzas and putting them in boxes just staring right at him. It's like, are you going to fucking do something? Like, maybe ask him what he wants? Are you going to say, hey, there's someone at the counter. Maybe could someone back here that's fucking around maybe, like, go help him?
I think one of these days you need to put on your old uniform under what you're wearing and just at some point.
Oh, I don't have any more. Dude, those uniforms are fucking crusted full of, like, nasty ass, like, you know, pizza sauce. I mean, it's just like it. No, it's not a thing that I would want to wear again. But no, those got thrown out a while ago. But no, seriously, it's.
I know. I get it. I get it. You guys may or may not know, I trained for a call center for many, many years. This was the job that I did. And so when I call, like, call centers, I usually have a lot of patience for people on the line because I know, you know, what they're going through and so forth. And I never lose my shit with somebody on the phone. Even if I'm upset, I'm gonna start off by saying, like, I'm really upset that this is happening. I know it's not your fault, but is there anything you can do to help me? Like, I always, you know, kind of try to be nice about it. Like, I'm pissed, but I'm not pissed at you, which, trust me, those folks really appreciate. But I get it. But then when I get, like, the really lazy, where it's like, I totally know this person is, like, trying to shoo me off the line, doesn't care, doesn't, like, I get really frustrated. And I never yell. I still don't yell. I'm not that type of person. I just hang up and call back and get somebody else.
Right. Like, they were cool. Like, last time that happened, you know, the manager actually did call me and leave a message later on. And, like, he was probably going to, like, they already caught me that one time. So I was like, that's fine. You took care of it then. I don't need to talk to your manager to say, hey, you guys are slow in this particular instance.
I don't like to make a fuss.
There's
like
no point in doing that. It's not going to accomplish anything.
But some people love to make a fuss, and it's always like, oh, God.
Oh, yeah,
so
I know. I know.
So there, awkward. Stop
there
making a fuss.
There was so many. I know the owner, and they would come in. Like, they would fucking – like, there's one family. They claimed they knew the owner. They did know the owner. And we knew them all. Like, everybody in the store knew them. Because every time they come in, they would complain about their pizza. Doesn't matter what they ordered, they would have a complaint about it because they were trying to get it for free. Every time. So fucking annoying. But yes, those people do exist.
All right. We will get to video games, I promise. But I wanted to read some more comments in chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Let's see. Tiger Claw asks, why does it always have to be chicken dinner? What if you want a steak dinner? That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, a steak dinner, that's a reward. Like, when I get to go to Ruth Chris, like, I'm putting on my slacks to go out to the restaurant. Like, this is fine dining tonight. So, I think I'm good for steak dinner. Let's see. Dungeon Buster suggested Loki on the next Undercover Boss. And come on, Noel Gus says, Loki's game needs to be a food service worker VR simulator. Well, that's kind of, I mean, I guess they have job simulator, but that's different.
It's already been done so well. Like, if you want a perfect example, recent example of food service worker VR game that's fucking weird because we haven't had a weird food service game in a while since, like, Sneak King, but... If anyone's watched videos of the VR KFC chicken frying game, that is fucking weird, and I need a full game of that because that's just like crazy
shit. That came up on the show a couple weeks ago, yeah.
Yeah, oh God, it's so weird.
There's a really fun game that one of my buddies on Twitch streams, and I can't remember the name of it, which is horrible, but it's like one of those food service games, and you have the ingredients and people come up to the table, and you have to put it all together and all that stuff, and I was, you know, it kind of reminded me of that a little bit.
We can play Job Simulator where you can just fuck it all up because, you know, it's robots.
It was something that started with an O, and it would be not Overcooked. Not that one. It's something else. It had like a three or four word title, and this was like part two. I think it was something new. So maybe no, it wasn't Overcooked, unfortunately. It was something else. I know that one. Anyway. Sorry. I don't always remember the name of every single game out there. Is that it? Yes, MXC is right. It's Cook Serve Delicious. That is the name of it. It was Cook Serve. Good job. MXC, ding, ding, ding. Winner, winner, steak dinner. MXC, it's Cook Serve Delicious. That's the name of it. So, yeah, that one looked fun. So that's one you could try. Because not only do you have to cook the food, but then all of a sudden, like, instead of a food order coming in, it'll come in and go, bing, the toilet's backed up. You got to go fix it. Bing, the dumpster's full out back. So you have to go, and, like, the part of the keystrokes you do is, like, stomp the dumpster down, like, everything. So I thought it was funny. Or the rat traps have to be reset, or just, like, other, like, random shit comes in addition to the food. And I thought that was funny. So, yeah, I watched a buddy of mine playing it on Twitch, and I was like, oh, maybe I'll get this. This will say fun. So, all right. Anyhow, Kaijudo suggests Overwatch. No, that's a different game. We'll get into that during gaming weeks. But first, let's get to our kickoff topic tonight. Believe it or not, we're not just going to talk about food service, but we want to talk a little bit about Tokyo Game Show was this past week,
yeah,
which was mainly a Sony affair. I mean, not exclusively. Obviously, you have a lot of third-party developers showing the stuff they're doing for maybe mobile phones and so forth. But with Microsoft, you know, in Japan not really being a thing, and Nintendo sitting out Tokyo Game Show, it really is Sony's to kind of drive. So that's why they did a big press conference, which was it was Tuesday in Japan, right? But it was
It was like Tuesday at 6 their time.
But it was Monday at midnight for us.
Yeah.
And I didn't, like, this is one of those rare occasions where I have to really thank Twitter, because I totally forgot that this was a thing that was going to be on until Twitter was like, hey, here's the YouTube stream with the English translation of the people on stage. It didn't translate the trailers, but it was enough. You could understand what was going on. So I actually watched. I mean, I only missed the very, very beginning where I guess they had some type of song or something. I totally missed that thing. But I saw.
Yeah, it was just a sizzle reel.
Yeah, I saw the bulk of it, and I liked it. Dare I say I was more engaged than I was with E3, because I felt like we saw more like new things, as opposed to, you know, my disappointment with this year's E3 is that it really felt like it was shorter, and it was kind of like an update-a-thon. But, you know, and there were updates in this too, don't get me wrong, but there were some other things I saw in it where I was like, ooh, cat butt VR. I want to see how they're going to do that, which obviously I'm talking about Neko Atsume is getting a VR version, which that was kind of out of left field. I mean, I don't think there were a lot of, like, huge surprises. Well, actually, no, I take that back. There were kind of some big surprises, like Zone of the Enders getting a VR release. That's a very interesting direction from Konami, where you have to think at this point that Konami is well aware of what's going on the internet. Like, somebody at this point has found out that Konami is
what?
Not popular.
What? People are saying, fuck you, Konami. What? This what? Is brand new information.
What? Why would they do
that?
They
are not happy with the way we are doing things.
So I do feel like Konami is kind of like, I feel like in a way they might be doing some soul searching right now. What isn't working for us? Fucking over Hideo Kojima. That's not working for us. What is working for us? Making the old shit new again, right? And that's why you see...
It's working for everybody.
Well, I mean, it's working in television, too. Like, fucking Will and Grace is back on TV this week. But anyway, what was I going to say? With everything is old is new again.
Final Fantasy IX?
Nah, not just that. Damn it. Ah, I lost my train of thought.
Remake?
Huh? No, Zone of Enders, Konami. Oh, Bomberman. The Bomberman thing on Switch. That came out not that long ago, right? That was a
right.
Switch launch title. And they've been kind of supporting that. And what have they been supporting it with? Pyramid Head. And now I think they just announced right after the Zone of the
Look
Enders
at all
thing.
All these characters from franchises we'll never get again. Woo!
Right? But I do feel like Konami's trying to, like, tap into, like, what do we have left to salvage this relationship? And to be fair, you know, their arcade division is still kind of chugging along. Like, you know, U-Beat is still, like, I see lines for that at conventions. And 2DX is trucking along.
Dance I would
Dance
like
Revolution
to see another
school.
Dance Dance Revolution come home. I know, understand that's not a very profitable thing.
Well,
but
I would just like to see fucking Beatmania 2DX come home. Like, yes, I know it's a special controller. Come on. Just release something that is playable on a regular controller. Yes, I know it'll suck, but release, like, a special third-party old-school controller that will work on PlayStation 4. Like, why do you keep robbing me of this? Because there's so many songs from, what was the last one they did? I keep wanting to say Princess, but I think it was Empress. 2DX Empress all the way through now. That's like 8 or 9 versions of the game that have never come home.
Yeah. Well,
anyway. But I don't know. Maybe some people are like, Beatmania 2DX is kind of an old game. But yet it's still going in the arcade. I mean, there's an audience for it somewhere, right? I don't know. Anyway.
And people are, if they're worried about, like, the price points of, you know, selling that stuff, I mean, a lot of times people are buying, like, these collector's editions. They're, like, $200, and what comes with a shitty statue? I mean, Fuck, I'm sure you can manage to make a controller cheap.
Or just, you know what? I know this may not be the popular idea, but it's better than nothing. Why not just release Beatmania online and it comes with like 3 songs for free and the whole thing is free. Just make the game free and it comes with like the staple Konami songs like 20 November and, you know, like old Konami shit for free, like 3 Konami originals for free that you just download for free and then just charge for song packs like mobile phone games do. I think there would be a lot of people that would play like a 2DX Unlimited type of thing.
Yeah.
And that might even work. I mean, I would hope they would release it in the US, but I guess if it's region free, I don't know. I don't know. I feel like that could happen. Why not? Like, DJ Max is very, very, very similar and is out. And I've played it thanks to Shane doing the import thing on his PlayStation 4. And it's fun. I like it. And I can't wait for some of the DLC that they're going to put out because I really want to play like Flea.
Don't they have like a Hatsune Miku game that's like that too? I thought they had a free one.
They do. It's Hatsune Miku, so it's not the Falling Notes. But it's, yeah, they do. They
have, it's just like one song that comes with that one.
It's like two songs, one from each, you know, pack. It's like a, I don't remember the exact names of it, but it's like Sun and Moon type of thing. Like you can download big, I think it's like Future Tone. Somebody in chat will yell it out. But like they're I think one of them is like older songs and one of them is like newer from the arcade songs. Yeah. It's kind of how it breaks down. Yeah, ActF says Hatsune Miku Future Tone. There you go. Dart Tetsuya in chat says they have that, the Beatmania 2DX thing I'm talking about, but it's not free. That's right, I forgot about this. He says it's called Infinitas, but it doesn't use the song pack model. They charge monthly for a Pacelli or whatever. Okay, then it ain't on console, so scrap it and start over. It's my controversial thought. Anyway, sorry, we deviated a little bit. We were supposed to be talking about Tokyo Game Show and Sony's press conference, and it turned into a whole, I wish Konami would do this thing, but I think the moral of the story is, I think the gears are ticking at Konami, and they realize they're not loved and cherished right now, so you're probably gonna see him try to do some weird things over the next couple of years to try to win people's favor back.
Yeah, like that new Metal Gear Solid game.
I think they will put out a new Silent Hill, even though obviously PT and what we saw there, that should have been it. I think Konami will put out a new Silent Hill.
Hopefully,
I think they will.
Hopefully it's before this, you know, new Kojima game comes out. I think, because that's gonna fucking destroy whatever they put
out.
Well,
obviously it would be ridiculous to release them the same day, but assuming the Hideo Kojima game is a next year release, that would seem, it would seem like 2018 is a good
I'm
time
surprised.
To come out.
Well, I'm not surprised, but I was kind of hoping we'd see a new trailer for that, but I guess we'll have to wait until December for Death Stranding.
That also might be a little played out at the PlayStation events right now.
We haven't had one. There was no trailer at
That's right. They didn't
E3.
Do it this year. Yeah.
So it's been a while. It's been December was the last time we had a trailer.
I guess that's true. I guess the next thing we see ought to be gameplay, right?
Yeah, I'd hope.
And you do mention December. You know, obviously Sony has their big, you know, company event, the Sony Experience that's coming out.
And then there's also the Video Game Awards, which, you know, usually Jeff Keighley is, you know, chummy with Kojima. Yeah. So usually they have something there.
And Nintendo, yeah.
Yeah.
So he's usually gets some stuff for that. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Death Stranding starring Mario.
Mamma mia.
This is weird. I don't know what's going on here.
Suddenly I'm shirtless and the world is adoring my titties. Anyway, let's talk about some other stuff that was in Sony's press conference.
Now I have to see someone recreate, like, you know, the Death Stranding trailer, but like CG characters from Mario, like replacing the characters.
You think that would be done? I'm pretty sure that had to have been done.
It's not done yet, but that would be hilarious. I would love to see that.
I don't know, the internet. Okay, look, what were some other things we got here? We got the Call of Duty World War II trailer in Japanese.
Yeah.
Ni no Kuni 2 trailer, right? Oh, right up your alley. Earth Defense Force.
You know, I would have been more excited about Earth Defense Force 5 if they hadn't already, like, announced that. So that was all right. It was just, you know, kind of expecting that to come pretty soon. The one I was more excited about was the other Earth Defense Force game, which was Earth Defense Force Iron Rain, which is a brand new game that's using a different engine and by a different developer. So I'm very interested in that.
How do you feel about that whole different developer thing?
It was fine. The one that they did, Insect Armageddon, it was different. I liked it. It was all right. It got kind of boring after a while. The only reason that game was boring is because there were so few levels in it. And it was also kind of hard to level up, whereas the other games, you kind of get weapons by just grinding the levels, whereas this, you had to grind money to buy weapons, and that kind of sucked. But I'll play it. I still haven't played much of Earth. I need to go back to Earth's Defense Force 4 or 4.1 because I have that and I have the DLC for it. I just haven't really played much into it. Maybe that'll be this week. I'll do that this
All
week
right.
because I need to go back.
You know, Gabe, our buddy from I almost said Niantic, Nascent Games, Gabe here locally. He loves that series. He played that online.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. We'll have to seriously, you know, that was the other thing. Like the co-op in they had, well, in 4.1 they had 4-player co-op, but like that was one of the Insect Armageddon was like the first game that had more than just 2-player co-op and same screen, so that was kind of fun.
Okay, so I hate to backtrack a little bit, but I have this, it's just the two of us tonight, and it's going to be a shorter show if I don't
shit,
do some
man.
Tangents. Okay, so I'm reading the comments in chat, and they're talking a little bit about Death Stranding, and now I'm stuck on this. Like, I'm like, oh, man, as long as we're talking about like this like art avant-garde, like fucking weird-ass fucking video game, here's the fucking dream team collaboration I want to see. Now, don't get me wrong. The Guillermo del Toro and Hideo Kojima thing, like, I'm here for that. That's going to be awesome. I want to see a game that fucking David Lynch makes. Can you fucking imagine a David Lynch video game?
Would that be like a David Cage game? You know, like the Detroit, was it?
Oh!
What's the game? It's something Detroit. I can't remember.
Even, no, I think, yeah.
I can't remember the name, but the androids or whatever.
I think it would be even weirder than that.
Like Heavy Rain?
Like, no, it would be like one of these, like, press X to go to the next level, and then you press X. You press the O button, you are dead. Like, it's just like weird shit that would happen, and then everybody would talk
That's
backwards.
Frustrating.
And,
fuck you, I pushed X.
Tiger Claw suggests maybe a Twin Peaks game. I don't know if I would want it to be that direct. I feel like...
I have never watched Twin Peaks.
How about
so
a
I don't
Lost
know what...
Highway game? Because that movie was fucked up. So maybe something like that. I don't know. We'll see. S200 Matt says, I don't think our minds can process a David Lynch game. It would have to be a point-and-click adventure. Raginator suggests David Lynch and David Hayter. Yes, perfect. Perfect. All the Davids in a game. Anyway, I apologize for my tangent.
David Spade?
It was a thought I had to get out of my system. All right. So let's follow that up with Idolmaster Stella Stage is going to be out at the end of the year, December 31st in Japan. How about the big it's out now moment, which was ruined a little bit by a rating that was out there earlier in the day. But Final Fantasy IX was the surprise
which is
release.
Because we were talking about they should remake that, and here they kind of did, sort of.
Kind of. I was more like Final Fantasy XVI should be Final Fantasy XV's engine, but a Final Fantasy IX type story, and here's Final Fantasy IX.
That's what I kind of liked about like 8 a little bit, and even 7, and well, actually probably 6, 7, and 8. It was that whole... like fantasy in like it's kind of like a technology in like a fantasy setting type thing. That's why that was one of the things that drew me into 6 is like, oh shit, it's like fucking Final Fantasy, like it's all fantasy setting, but then there's mechs and, you know, guns and magic, and that was kind of cool, that mix. I'm not feeling so much of the magic and guns and shit in modern day, but whatever.
What was the name of that? Was that the was that some, that was one of that thing they showed, right? The new Left Alive, was that it? Or is that no?
What was that Left Alive is a that's a new game that I know has artwork by the guy that did Metal Gear Solid.
Yoji Shinkawa.
Yeah.
And it's a shooter from Square Enix. I just remember because, you know, we're talking a lot about like, oh, it's kind of updates and things, but there was some new stuff that they showed at this, and that was one of them.
And
that
they showed a new trailer for Dissidia NT, which now, of course, no big surprise, they have characters from Final Fantasy 15 in it. So, Noctis, I think, yeah.
A lot of impressive VR stuff, too. I mean, like,
yeah.
They show the VR segment was pretty meaty, and that was kind of nice to see Sony really, like, I think that's part of why I walked away feeling favorable from what I saw at Tokyo Game Show, because I really feel like, okay, Sony is really investing in VR. Like, it kind of showed in a way.
It's not a Vita.
I mean, that's kind of why I'm happy, is it's like, okay, Sony really is planning these other things. And I guess it felt maybe more exciting for me than like E3, which is when we found out the Final Fantasy game was
they
fishing.
Just really needed to bring the hardware price down.
They did in Japan.
Well, I mean,
and I think they did recently here too. So it is coming
because they need to push it more, because I think it would be, you know, get more people involved in it.
Let's see. Arc Park was something that they were showing on VR. Gran Turismo Sport, which obviously is going to be beautiful. The Zone of the Enders thing we talked about. Nico Atsume, which I joked about earlier. Let's see. Nico, which is, you know, it's not really big here, but it's a YouTube, Twitch-esque type of thing that they have in Japan. A lot of events happen on there. A-Train, which I couldn't believe that series is still around. A-Train has been around since like the Apple
IIe. I hope they release that over here. here. I mean, that would be cool.
Yeah, they've done some, well, they've done some A-Train games have been out. Because
people like that shit. I mean, they like, you know...
Train sims are way bigger in Japan than they are here.
I'm surprised Farm Sim hasn't gone VR yet, but that might be something coming. Gran Turismo Sport looks cool, though.
Let's see, and which I thought was something interesting, they also were pushing a Japan Studio VR Music Festival and Digital Theater where you could be, like, in a concert in PlayStation VR. So PlayStation VR starting to kind of nudge itself a little bit into that life space, which... You know, not to bring up an old conversation, but I will, which is why we speculate Facebook had bought Oculus all that time ago, is that maybe it was not just that VR is for gaming, but VR is for life experiences and being able to be right in the middle of an experience. So now you see kind of Sony doing that a little bit with PlayStation VR, and this is something, you know, this is an entry-level VR thing for a lot of people. And so it's kind of neat that they're selling this kind of different experience. This is in addition to 3-ray Blu-rays. They don't really make movies in 360-degree just yet, but maybe Sony will have a live show at a Sony theater. And I'm not just talking about concerts. Maybe, like, I don't know, a Cirque du Soleil or a stage play or something that maybe they'll put in VR someday.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Probably.
Could be interesting. Could be interesting. Or what about y'all, if the next E3... Sony does their press conference, but you can watch it in VR and like you're there in the actual arena.
That'd be cool.
Maybe, yeah.
I'd still rather watch it on screen because it's mostly trailers, but yeah.
I still think doing home on PlayStation VR is something they should do.
What would be cool is if in those trailers, it's like VR trailers, it's VR. You know, like how they have like the 3D trailers at the movies. Where those trailers are in 3D, where some are not in 3D.
Bobby Blackwolf, speaking of home, is pointing out in chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Hey, Loki, did you notice that Steam VR Home now allows you to put the trophies you earn in games into your home space? Valve is greater than Sony.
First off, I didn't realize there was a Steam VR Home.
Actually,
and yes,
I didn't realize I was
they win, obviously, because they were able to fulfill a promise. The only thing I worry about, well, I guess you can put select trophies in there, because if it's all trophies, there's some of these games nowadays that just kick out trophies like crazy. So that you're just like, ah, shit, there's trophies all over me. But, yeah, it's cool that you can put that stuff in there. Can you visit other people's homes in there? I mean, is there a point?
Can you do a clubhouse type of thing in Steam VR? Because that was always, I felt like, a really missed opportunity within PlayStation Home. Well, actually, later on, I remember when we had that listener, and I don't think he listens anymore. We had that guy who set up a really fancy VOG clubhouse, and I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. But, like, it would be even cooler if I could inject my own pictures into this or audio so we could play audio clips from OLR or something while you're in, you know, other VOG shows when you're visiting the space. Like, why, and I suppose they're probably worried, well, if we let people upload any old pictures, they'll just be titties everywhere. And if we let people upload audio, it'll be a copyright nightmare. But, you know, YouTube does it somehow and it works. So somewhat, barely.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, and Bobby Blackwolf says, yes, you can visit others. You can start up a Steam VR space and anybody can join it, or you can make it friends only. You can even make a custom Steam VR space. It uses Workshop. So there you go. Anyway, it's not supposed to be all about Valve right now. It's supposed to be about Sony. But
well, it's not my fault if Sony is not supporting certain things that they promised several years ago that they would support.
There was an update on Detroit, which looks like an awesome game. I'm excited about that. A Virtual On crossover, which I thought was...
Yeah, that was weird. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, let's see, a new channel called Animax, which is going to be on the PlayStation 4, which is, I guess, anime all day, every day.
Is it anime and Skinamax mixed together?
One can hope. Maybe Animax After Dark. Who knows? And the last but not least, the last big thing they showed for the day was Monster Hunter World and the big reveal of the release date, January 26th next year, obviously, 2018. And it is going to be a simultaneous worldwide release. So US, Europe, all the other places getting it the exact same day. There will be a Monster Hunter PlayStation 4 Pro released in Japan that I think comes out a little sooner. I don't think it actually comes out. I think it comes out like in the next couple months. So, you know, if you're an ultimate Monster Hunter fan, you can get something a little bit sooner. So, yeah, that was some of the big stuff out of Tokyo Game Show. So that's one of those shows I'd love to go to someday. Maybe.
Yeah. I, I'm fine.
I'm a little worried about the fact that, you know, I don't speak a lick of Japanese, but hopefully I'd have a friend or something that could help me out that does speak it and, you know, could,
what
so
was
I don't
it?
Get lost.
Okay, so one of the other things I was going to mention, too, that they were showing off, I think, was that PlayLink stuff. So that was the where you use your cell phones as a controller, basically.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They
so they had was a Hidden Agenda, which is a new game by the guys that did
that
Until
was
Dawn.
Okay, here's the thing. That was at E3, but do you remember how they had like an hour or a half hour like pregame before the press conference?
Uh-huh.
Hidden Agenda was in the pregame. Remember one of our big complaints about E3 was that like all the rad stuff was in the pregame. That's when they announced Undertale was coming to PlayStation 4. But that was all in the pregame. So Hidden Agenda was in that pregame.
Okay.
But this was its first Japanese unveiling, I guess, or confirmation.
That sounds neat.
Yeah, no, I mean, the game looks really cool. And like, it was showing the whole concept where like one person is a traitor on the team, right? Trying to...
I skimmed through a lot of that.
That's okay. Hence the name Hidden Agenda. One of the players is trying to screw all the others. So it's that it's betrayal.
So it's
at
you
House
don't
the
know
Hill.
Jack.
Yeah, kind of.
Sort of.
Kind of. So, yeah. Anyway, I enjoyed the Sony press conference. And considering that I was ready to just kind of go, oh, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a lot of the Japan games and the stuff we never get to play here. You know, considering I was kind of going into it with that mindset that I wasn't really going to see anything, I didn't even think I'd end up watching the whole thing. I figured I'd turn it off after 20 minutes, but I watched the whole thing and I was like, oh, this is a really good show. Good job, Sony.
Yeah.
I felt better going out of that than I did at E3, so I was happy. All right. We'll get into some more stories in just a moment, but first I want to talk about our gaming weeks and the types of video games that you've been playing this week. Dark Sakura not here to share her week with us, but I'm sure it involved lots of Dragon Ball. What is the one she's playing online? I can't remember. Z2. Oh, no, I'll tell you what she's playing is that Idol Pouring game still, because she got me fucking playing it, too.
Idol Pouring?
Yeah, and joining her guild. It's the Ragnarok clicker game, but you don't really click in it. But anyway, so that
yeah,
I
that's
playing that.
Like that's like my.
It's you know what? I'll say this for one of those clicker games, it's pretty well done. Although the translation is a little hit and miss, but you can follow it well enough.
So you like join guilds?
Yeah, you can join guilds with other people and leaderboards and stuff like that. So it's there's a lot of in depth to it, but of course it's all more ways to have more items that you need the special currency to buy. But I haven't spent any real money on it yet, and don't plan to. So we'll see. Yeah. We'll see. Anyway. But that's enough about that. How about your gaming week, Logie?
So I mainly, well, this is funny enough that we talk about idle games. I mainly played the Office Space idle game, and I've actually finished it. So basically the whole objective of the main game is to get to level 100, where you become the CEO of Inatech, and I've done that. And so now it's just, why do I need to play this game anymore? I don't, so... I've been playing, like, they do these little events and stuff, so you play, like, almost like a separate game where they kind of change up the rules a little bit, and so I've been doing that to unlock more cards, because you can assign characters to each of your floors, and you get different bonuses based on which characters are in the floors, so it's kind of a little bit like, I don't know, there's not much clicking with, in fact, actually, they've really nerfed any of the clicking in the game, so it's... You may do that in the beginning, or do that for your daily, trying to get 100 critical clicks or whatever. But aside from that, you're not really. It's more of just management and just trying to, you know, I don't know, strategy. And there's a lot of strategy involved with it. So I played that. I didn't play a whole ton of console games. It's mainly just played a little bit more of the Lego Movie game. But I'm probably going to stop playing that because I finished it already. And I don't really want to grind to get all the extra characters because I just don't care. But
fair enough.
I mean, I kind of wanted the achievements for it, but...
You don't want to platinum that bad, huh?
Well, it's not even on the PlayStation. It's on Steam, so I don't care. It doesn't really matter. But yeah, it was fun. Yeah. I thought about getting the Ninjago game because it came out with that because the movie just came out, but... I think I'll just wait for the Lego Marvel 2 game that's going to be coming out in the fall. And then, of course, South Park's in like a couple weeks. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, I probably will end up playing that next. But, yeah, like I said, I need to go back to Earth Defense Force 4.1. So I'll probably end up doing that because I haven't played that in a while. I do need to play some more VR, though. I need to finish or actually play Super Hot VR because I have that now. And I've been meaning to try, but like every time I go, I don't really want to set it up. So it's just laziness that's preventing me from playing that.
That's it.
All right. My gaming week, I gotta admit, not a lot of like new stuff this week. I did play Super Metroid after the show last week, and I actually did do a follow-up stream. So it's not everybody probably saw it because it was late at night on like Wednesday or Thursday, but I did do a follow-up stream, and I got so lost. And I was kind of embarrassed because I'm like, for as much as I love this game, it was like, wow, I was really like running around in circles. I was like, I could not fucking remember what I had to do at one point. So I think I need to make it a goal to like play through that game once a year to just like keep my skills up and remember like where everything is and stuff, and not be like, is this when I get the ice beam or what? So anyway, so I did have fun with that, and I've been playing a little bit of Overwatch this week because they had the free weekend going on, and I don't know, I was into it. I actually downloaded it on Xbox One.
I've been meaning to try it because I think it went free to play. Was that whole Fortnite? They have the Battle Royale Fortnite that's out now. That's something I should probably check out because that's free. Isn't that free on consoles too?
I think it does have a free to play version. I think the Battle Royale thing's in early access. We'll get into that in a little while because it's going to come up in the news later. But anyway, free to play is great. But Overwatch, not free to play, but they did have a free weekend. So I finally downloaded it to my Xbox One so I can say I've played it on every system that it's on now. So I've played PlayStation 4, I've played PC. I didn't buy it on Xbox One, sorry. It's not really cheap enough for me to triple dip on Overwatch, but I just thought it would be fun to download it. And I got all my loot boxes from the Twitch Prime thing. They just showed up automatically on Xbox, so that was kind of cool. So yeah, there was that. That was something I played this week. And then I played a lot of Pokemon Go today because the Equinox event. So I played a lot of that and got Stardust and did like 4 raids today. So busy with that. And then, that's really it's continuing to do some Heroes of the Storm. But otherwise, that's pretty much been my gaming week. Yeah. So.
All right.
Nothing really new this week, sadly. Going to our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Tiger Claw in chat says, have you been playing Samus Returns? Thank you for bringing that up. Not enough. I need to play more of it, but I just... Yeah, I do. When I like the time for me to play DS games is when I'm like lying in bed about ready to go to sleep, and maybe I'll play a game before I go to sleep. But lately this week, it's just been I'm going to lie down and so I don't ever really get around to playing the game. So I need to kind of like force myself to just sit down and spend more time with Samus Returns because I really did enjoy the part of what I played. Corke is in our chat right now saying Fortnite is not free yet. They still want you to buy the early access stuff.
Yeah.
But I think that's in the long-term plan. It's going
to
be free.
I thought the Battle Royale portion was free to play.
I think it will be. I don't think it is yet. So, all right. Let's get into some housekeeping real quick, and then we will do some news. Housekeeping this week. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/OLR. And we're also on Facebook, facebook.com/OrangeLoungeRadio. I want to mention the Discord, too. I think I did earlier in the show, but I realized last week on our big 700th episode, I forgot to freaking mention it. So we do have a new Discord server. Check it out at vognetwork.com/Discord. That just forwards you to the Discord with the invite code because you know I need an invite code. It's open, though. You don't need like a special invitation. This is your special invitation. Go to vognetwork.com/Discord and you can join, and you get updates on the shows, and you can also like submit stories, and there's just like some general chat. And when we were doing, I was sad because I archived the Dragon Con channel today, but when we were at Dragon Con, you know, we were posting pictures and live updates from that. So it's been a lot of fun. It's been a good experiment. So. Check that out. And then also some of our streamers are using it for their voice chat. Like when I did a impromptu late night Overwatch stream on Twitch Friday night or Saturday night. I don't remember. I didn't start the stream till like midnight. It was like an Insomniac feed, but Flacco was up. And so we started playing together and we were having a hilarious time because he was playing on PC because the free weekend on PC. So he just joined the voice chat on the VOG Discord and we were able to both talk and, you know, can be heard on the feed. So it was fun.
Cool.
So there's that. Another thing I want to give a plug for real quick is I want to give a shout out to the Pokemon Go podcast. Because, you know, Charles, who's one of the hosts over there, and I know Joe, too, and Charles and I had been talking for a while about me doing some type of, like, segment thing on the show. So I did a segment this week. So you can check that out on their latest episode, episode 62. So I did, like, a little five-minute segment about, since I have played a lot of Ingress, I kind of still keep tabs on what's going on there and kind of talking about how what happening there might, how that might relate to Pokemon Go. So, it was... It was fun. So, and they were very nice, and they played it on the show and everything. So check it out. So it's episode 62, I think, is where that shows up. And I'm hoping to do that, if not every week, if there's not enough news every week, maybe every other week, have a little segment there that I'll be sending over to those guys. So big shout out and thank you to them. All right. Let's move on for some gaming news, Loki.
So Steam is changing up how they're doing their review scores. Basically, what's been happening lately with a lot of different games is they've been getting review bombed. So, for example, you know, when there was the announcement that there was going to be the in-game microtransactions with the new Shadow of War game, when, you know, there was the whole backlash with the Firewatch devs, Campo Santo, basically saying that we're going to flag PewDiePie because of his, you know, racist comments. There was a backlash against that where people, there were fans of PewDiePie, were going and review bombing, you know, Firewatch or, you know, NBA 2K18, you know, because of their microtransactions and that kind of stuff. So basically what this is going to do is it's going to kind of give you like a history. So like they call it a histogram, where it kind of shows you where the reviews kind of went down, like kind of where it's fluctuated. So like, for example, you can see, okay, this was tied with this event and so on and so forth. So it's still going to, you know, show those negative reviews. It's just going to kind of give you a bigger picture to see, oh, was this because of recent patch? Has it always been negative? Is, you know, what's kind of the case with this?
Interesting.
And so you can kind of figure it out.
Do you think it's going to help the review bombing or whatever?
No. I don't think it's going to do anything.
No.
Much like anything Steam does, it doesn't really help.
Steam is such a... Steam just is such a mess now. Like, I think in some ways Steam is a victim of its own success. I don't really know how to more eloquently more put it than that. But I feel like Steam kind of needs to find its focus. Like, Steam has kind of been trying to bite off a lot, you know, with between the whole they started to build streaming in it. Remember how Steam has streaming in it? And, you know, with the workshop and the reviews and the curators and the, you know, there's so many elements to Steam. I really feel like Steam needs to have like a whole like, what are we going to be first and foremost? Are we
on
a store? Or are we a social network or what?
I don't know. They're working on, you know, lots of different changes, but I don't know. It's just, it doesn't seem like a lot of it helps. But, I mean, at the very least, I get the whole Campo Santo thing. That's kind of unfair, I feel, to the backlash with that. However, the, you know, Shadow of War and the 2K18 stuff, sorry, maybe if you didn't do dickish things, people wouldn't act like dicks to you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't feel bad for them, but it's fine.
Why doesn't Steam, and I realize Steam calls out, like, this is somebody who actually bought the game or has a key or whatever. Why doesn't Steam only weigh the people who have actually bought the game?
They really should. Well, because I guess you could theoretically purchase it on our platform or like another, you know, non-Steam platform or something, get DRM free. But who cares? Okay,
I know this is going to be controversial, but tough titty. Like, just only allow the people that bought it on Steam, not even the promo keys. Only the people who bought it on Steam, spent money, get to write reviews that are weighted. I mean, let anybody write a review for whatever, but only the ones who actually bought it on Steam are weighted. And you know
I
what?
Think that's fair.
What would be the problem with that?
But like,
oh no! People are going to review bomb my game by buying the game over and over again and leaving reviews. I'm saying don't let the codes either. And I fully realize that this is going to screw Kickstarter stuff because a lot of Kickstarter stuff get their codes through Kickstarter campaigns. But you know what? As the old saying goes, you can't make an omelet without breaking eggs. Like, this is like the Steam store and the whole review system is kind of screwed up. And so I think they just need to make some decisions that may not be popular, but I think will clean it up a lot.
This kind of shit happens on like iOS and Android and like their review sites and everything. So it's like, you know, grow up. You're a publisher publishing a game. Fucking grow up and deal with the shit. So what? People don't like a decision you make. Maybe take that to the bank and figure out, oh, maybe we shouldn't do that next time. How about that? Because, like, and even with in the case of the Firewatch devs, yeah, you know, you are well within your right to, I guess, copyright strike something. However, it's kind of fucked up being that on your website you say, oh, you can go ahead and use our stuff. And it's kind of silly to do that for a video that he made a long time ago. It wasn't like he was playing that game and then he dropped the N-bomb. It was a totally different it's such a weird thing
that,
to like
that video still generates revenue, and so, you know, they don't want to be associated with him. You know, I think people forget that a lot of these game companies are doing a favor
they're associated with him. So he played one of their games, big deal. You could just say, I think, you know, what he said was terrible, leave it at that, done. No one, you don't have to go any further. You were just an angry person using the system incorrectly, because it's not a copyright strike. You gave express copyright to these people. So, I'm sorry. I mean, you get upset. That's it.
I want to move on, but respectfully, I disagree. Because, again, I think a lot of... I think this whole streaming situation could be a lot worse when it comes to the copyrights than it is. I think a lot of... I mean, look at what Nintendo does. I think Nintendo's an example of, you know, kind of doing a lot of the worst of it. And a lot of game companies could be doing that, but they're not. Because I think they do realize, for the most part, there's a lot of great publicity that comes from gaming. But at the same time, we have a real fucking big problem in this industry right now with the toxic culture in gaming, and that particular streamer is an excellent example of that problem. And so for a game company to put their foot down and say, you know what, fuck this, we're not going to be associated with this toxic shit, no matter if it's, you know, dated or whatever the semantics may be, I'm okay with them having done that. Because I stream video games. I kind of think the game developers are doing us a big favor by letting us get away with it and making the amount of money we do off games. And if someday they come down and say, you know what, Rob, you're going to have to share a bigger chunk of your revenue with the game makers, I'll be fine with it. I'm not gonna throw a hissy fit.
Well,
as long as it is transparent and clear and the rules are known, and, you know, if a competitor has different rules than they are known, as long as everything is, you know, out there, then I'm fine with it.
And you know what, though? Even if they do that kind of stuff, there's plenty of other games out there. There's so many indie developers that would love the exposure.
Yeah.
Too bad. You know, you want to be a dick about it, and you're a big publisher? We don't need a player game. You don't need the exposure. You've already basically stated that.
All right. Anyway, I want to move on and try to get back to the topic at hand, which was the Steam reviews. And let's see. I want to... what were they saying here in chat over at live.vognetwork.com? SG100 Matt says, can't they in theory buy the game, review it, and request a refund? Isn't that something that they're doing? Well, if they
review. But I think if you're going to abuse that, you know, if you're going to abuse that system, then they may, you know, revoke your privileges to do that.
I mean, sorry, MXC says, I don't believe you can review a game if it's not in your Steam library. At least I can't do it when trying to review a random non-owned game. So, but I think you can, can't you like add it through another process? You can add it into your Steam library through another process or something like that? Like, kind of
yeah, I don't
about.
Know if you can still leave reviews those for that.
Yeah. All right. Anyhow, let's move on in the interest of time. Let's talk a little bit about the drama that was going on this week between PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds and Fortnite with the whole Battle Royale mode. And I'm sure a lot of you guys are reading the blogs. You've probably heard about this a little bit, but Fortnite obviously is in a early stage of release, going to be going to early access. And they said, you know, kind of this week, they were talking about how they're dropping a Battle Royale mode in this. And I've actually seen people streaming this. This is something you can already play, basically. Well, the folks that were behind PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds not happy about what Epic did, saying, quote, we've also noticed that Epic Games references PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds in the promotion of Fortnite to their community and in communications with the press. This was never discussed with us, and we don't feel it's right. And so on and so on. So this kind of caused a conversation on, you know, Twitter and some places about the whole, like, what are these PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds guys doing? Like, they don't necessarily own the entire genre. Competition is a good thing, blah blah. This concept was around before it, you
I don't
blah,
think
blah, blah.
It's not necessarily that they're saying that they're stealing the Battle Royale idea. What mm-hmm. their problem is that they licensed the Unreal Engine from Epic Games,
mm-hmm.
and Epic is basically gonna be making you know, their version of this, and they're basically, you know, relying on Epic for like hardware troubleshooting and that type of or like troubleshooting with their engine. And so they're, I think, worried that, I don't know, that basically that they're either going to steal ideas or they're going to make improvements to the engine and not let this company in on those improvements. I don't know. It sounded like a whole bunch of worrying about nothing to me. I mean, it sounded like they're just whining because there's another company trying to come in. But, like, it's exactly the thing. It's like, dude, PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds, H1Z1 King of the Kill was like a thing way before that.
Well, I do want to clarify because part of what you're pulling from there with there was a clarification that came out, and I think it's important to say there was a follow up with the dev team with PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds that follows up this a little bit that came out a couple days ago. There was an interview with PC Gamer where they say, "quote the first thing," and this is actually an interview with what's the name, C.H. Kim, who is. One of the developers of the game. Oh no, there it is. Executive producer. Thank you. That's Blue Hole's VP as well. So C.H. Kim said, quote, "The first thing I'd like to clarify is that this is not about the Battle Royale mode itself. There were other BR game modes earlier this year that were released, like Last Man Standing or Grand Theft Auto V's Battle Royale game mode, and we never raised an issue. And I think it's great that there's more competition and everyone should be able to create their own Battle Royale game mode. It's not about the idea itself. It's about Epic Games." And that wasn't really clear. So that was a very interesting clarification, which, yeah, leads into this whole talk about the Unreal Engine and some of these other points that you brought up. So just to be clear, because I feel like social media didn't capture that follow-up as much as they did the original story.
And even one of the things Brendan Green was saying is he said other companies, of course, will come out and enter the marketplace. I just hope that they put their own spin on the game mode and not just make a carbon copy. And honestly, I feel that Fortnite has, because they have the whole building aspect of it. You can build a base. Although, I gotta be honest, with this type of gameplay, it's pretty fast-paced, it seemed like. I don't know if I'm gonna be just hunkered down in a base I build, and it's like, oh shit, the battlefield got smaller. I guess it's cool for, like, throwing up some cover or something like that, but... Yeah. And, you know, not going to get too intricate in building a base and stuff.
I watched somebody playing a stream of it, the Fortnite Battle Royale, and yeah, they were in a house, and they kept taking the roof off the house to kind of see if they could see where the snipers were or what have you, and then they would kind of like, they take the roof off a different part of the house, they're kind of like rebuilding the house as they were moving, and then finally some guy came up the stairs in the house and killed him, because the guy was too preoccupied with trying to find the other people through the roof.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was kind of interesting. And I was like, well, what I just described, that whole taking off the roof. And again, I don't think you could do that.
You can't.
Yeah. So there you go. That's how it's a little different. You know what's also interesting, Loki, is I can't help but be reminded of, you know, going back in time, the old discussion we used to have on the show about DDR versus In the Groove, right? Remember that whole thing when In the Groove first came out? And, you know, I'm in all honesty, you know, when the game first came out, I wasn't a big fan of it because I felt it was very reductive with DDR. Now, much like people's feelings evolve on things, in having talked to Kyle over the years and so forth, my views on In the Groove evolved significantly, and I understand why it was important and how it filled a void that Konami was making, basically, by themselves. But anyway,
yeah, I feel that like if they didn't have the building, building stuff aspect of Fortnite, and it was just, okay, it's in this art style now, but we're basically copying the gameplay, then yeah, I could see them taking issue with it more because, okay, this is, you're just basically carbon copying this. You just changed the art style now. But they have more gameplay aspects to it, and, you know, it kind of goes back to, like, even Street Fighter 2 and, like, the old fighting games. People got pissed, or, like, companies got pissed off because, oh, now there's Mortal Kombat, and now there's all these other fighting games that are basically kind of stealing, if you will, the style of the game, but they're all different. But, yeah, they're all kind of the same in certain ways as well. Just like this, I mean, there's always been Last Man Standing game types and everything from, like, Call of Duty to...
Somebody brought up something on the Intellivision, like Armor Battle.
Yeah, there's, like, a
battle.
Ton of... So this is not a new thing. And, like, let's be honest. I mean, Battle Royale, that whole concept. Anyways, that's from a fucking movie. That you guys all fucking copied that bullshit. So stop fucking saying, oh, your idea's fucking original. This is not an original idea.
It's a well-done implementation.
Exactly. So,
like,
you know what?
Like Mortal Kombat, Mortal Kombat X specifically is a well-done fighting game.
So here's what you do. Because this is what companies do when there's competition. You make the best fucking product you can and stop bitching about it. Stop whining that fucking competition's coming and step up your fucking game and make a better game. That's how you fucking win this.
All right, I want to get to chat. Bobby Blackwolf in chat, trying to kind of explain this in his style, says, the biggest worry is that Epic, who makes Unreal Engine from which PUBG uses, PUBG, so I should say PUBG. I keep wanting to say Pug, like a little pug, but it's PUBG. PUBG. Can't I say Pugby? Can't I get it backwards? All right. Who makes Unreal Engine, which PUBG uses, will start withholding updates they make to the engine from PUBG in order to make Fortnite better. They'll make an update to the engine for Fortnite and not share it with PUBG. Granted, they haven't even spoken to Epic about this. They went straight to the press. And certainly there's an issue with that as well, is taking your case to the court of public opinion.
Well, let's be honest here. You're going to make updates to the engine anyway, because I don't believe the engine supports 100-player multiplayer. That's probably something that you added in there. That's not something that's stock in there. So you're making updates to the engine too. So, yeah, they may make updates to the engine for their game, much like you're doing the same thing, but it's not like they're going to be releasing it and letting everybody else have that update and not your company. That's stupid. And so what? So what if they make updates to the engine for their particular game? Wah! Make a better fucking game. I don't understand what the problem is.
You know, I think it's inevitable that, you know, one of the consistently top three games streamed on Twitch is going to bring challengers that want a piece of that pie, just like what League of Legends now has, Heroes of the Storm, Smite, you know, things that are very similar in nature, which are all Defense of the Ancients, yes, I know. But, you know, League of Legends was kind of the first one that Twitch was really taken off there. You know, but the here's the fascinating thing. All those games, League of Legends, Heroes of the Storm, Smite, they all do very well on Twitch, and they all do very well for themselves in different ways, despite the fact that at its core, they're all lane defense games.
It's just, you just make a better game. Just make the best game you can and let everybody decide and learn from it. Just like learn, don't whine about it, because if you whine about it, that just comes off as fucking weak. People are doing the same thing as we are. Yeah, like anybody who wasn't going to copy your idea. That's how it fucking works.
But do you think people, like, now that you hear this clarification about it wasn't about the Battle Royale, it was about Epic.
Yeah,
like, doesn't
I
that
get
make
it.
You kind of feel like, okay, maybe people on Twitter were going to, and so forth, were going too far with it? Like, with this whole thing? Like, but at the same time, if they went to the press and not Epic Games to begin with, then they kind of only set themselves up for this misunderstanding.
You know, I get it that they're worried that they're going to make updates to the engine, but you know what? If they don't release an update, you can speculate whatever updates that they're making on their side. You can speculate all day long, but I mean, eventually they're going to release updates to it if it's going to be beneficial for everybody using that product because they want to sell the product. But to think that they're just going to purposely hold back updates so that your game fails is stupid. You know what? You've done well enough by yourself before that they've released all this stuff. I don't understand what the problem is.
All right, going to Stoppy in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, I think Sky's onto something. Player Unknown's ground battles make more sense. There's no combat at sea or in air. See? Pugby. It's not a puppy. It's a pugby. Anyway. You know what? I'll say this at the end of the day. I remain interested in both those games right now. You know, I've watched a little bit of both on Twitch, and I'm kind of interested in both of them. So, I mean, win? Question mark? Eh? All right. Anyway, let's move on to another story for now. Loki.
So, unfortunately, there are some now apps that aren't working with iOS 11. One of those apps being the very popular time-wasting game Flappy Bird. So if you update to iOS 11, it's not going to work because it's a 32-bit app and not a 64-bit app.
And no plans from the creator who walked away from that game so long ago to update
That's too bad. I mean, if only there were some more Flappy Bird clones on the iOS storefront. I mean, it's too bad that no one's ever made one. So, geez, you know what? You could really corner the market on this.
It's too bad there wasn't one right at VogNetwork.com.
It's like,
a Flappy
it's like
Bird
the whole pub.
Which did you hear, apparently no longer works in most browsers.
Oh, darn.
Bobby got into it on his show tonight. I'll let you go listen to that.
It's like the whole PUBG situation. Man, that sucks that they're the only game out there and only will be the only game ever. But, yeah, that's unfortunate. I guess Android wins in this case.
Well, you know, guys, I think I found the trick because right now right now in the studio on my phone. I'm playing Flappy Bird right now on my phone. That's right. On my oops, I died. On my iOS phone, I'm playing. You know how I did it? I didn't upgrade to iOS 11, and I can still play Flappy Bird. So if you want to still play that stuff, nobody's really forcing you to upgrade. Now, look, here's the other thing. It's not really just about Flappy Bird, although I'm a little sad he's going to update it, but you're right. There's tons of clones and games out there that have taken this formula and improved on it.
It was planned obsolescence. It's Apple conspiring against Flappy Bird because they're going to release their own Flappy Bird.
Yes.
And it's going to compete Flapple. In the marketplace.
Flapple.
And they're going to, yeah, Flapple. Flapple Bird. And it's not a bird anymore. It's a community. It's a meeting hub, a coffee shop, if you will. Not so much of a bird.
It's you, actually. Is
it's what, you. It's your you. Soul.
It's yes. It's yes.
Your soul.
Oh, yes. You. It, oh yeah. Flapple. It flaps the soul. Perfect. Anyway, but no. The real reason is the iOS updates are notorious for always being buggy when they first come out. Like they drain your battery or something happens. So I'm sorry. I've learned. I didn't upgrade right away. And some people will say you're an idiot, Rob. Well. Okay, cool, but my phone still works, and I'm playing Flappy Bird, and you're not. But also, just case in point, obviously I'm a big Pokemon Go player. I mentioned that earlier in the show with what I was playing today. There's, of course, a huge bug with the plus, the Bluetooth thing, where there's like a three-second delay for people that are on iOS 11 where it doesn't work right. So I'm like, you know what? For that reason alone, with as much Pokemon Go as I play, I'm not exactly in a hurry to upgrade to the newest iOS on my three-year-old device, the iPhone 6 Plus. So, anyway.
But how will you swipe up to do shit? You just won't be able to.
Oh, no.
It won't be as intuitive.
I won't be able to record my screen because I'm sure that's fucking smooth on the 6 Plus. It probably works great on the iPhone 8 and the iPhone 10 and all this, but it's just not, you know. And as I said before, look, as much as I'm giving this a little crap here, I fully plan to buy the iPhone 10. I'm 3 years due for an upgrade now. I'm gonna get that iPhone 10 and that fancy new screen, but I'll just wait till then for iOS 11. I don't need it now. I don't
think
have
of
to
how
be first.
Good Flappy Bird could look on that screen.
I know.
Sadly, the potential will never be realized.
Well, maybe what I'll probably do is that I'll upgrade. You know, I'll get the iPhone 10, and then what happens to my iPhone 6 Plus? It's basically an iPad or an iPod Touch at that point, right? There's just no cell service on it anymore. It's Wi-Fi. But I will forever have this device to play Flappy Bird on. This phone in my hand will be in a fucking museum someday because I didn't upgrade it to iOS 11. Mark my words.
He stood up to Apple and said, "Fuck you, I'm not updating. I will not go to 11.
Come on, Noel Gus in chat, talking about my problems with Pokemon Go and iOS 11, says, "That's Niantic, though." Well, yeah, it is, but it's also just a problem of what happens with new OSs. They kind of break some things that developers would want to do. YYR in chat says, "None of this should come as a surprise. For months now, opening such apps on iOS 10 would display a warning." That is true, and you can still go in and see. You can actually go into, I think it was, what is it? I'm looking at my phone right now. You go into settings, and I think it's like, what is it, general? And I don't remember what it is from here. Somebody in chat will probably yell it out, but there's something. Is it software update? No, because I don't want to update. Oh, shit. I don't want to update. Accessibility, maybe? I don't remember what it is, but there's something you go into, and it actually shows you what apps on your phone are not going to upgrade. And what's interesting is that Rerave, another music game, is one of them that will not upgrade. But they put out Rerave Plus some time ago, so the old Rerave is kind of done anyway. It's all about Rerave Plus at this point. But I remember that was like the other big one that showed up on the list. So, all right. ActDeft in chat speculates, iPhones without iOS 11 will be valuable like PlayStation 4 with PT. Ooh, good point, good point. All right.
Let's try that. Was it? Didn't they try that though? Like people were selling their phones with Flappy Bird when it got removed.
I think it was working for some people too. It's kind of crazy what people will buy. Anyway, speaking of things that only crazy people will buy, the original Xbox controller is coming back. The X Brick controller, that gigantic. Did you ever have the original Xbox with that gigantic
no, but I know what it looks like,
freaking controller? check it out. Look at a YouTube or something if you've never seen it. But there was a gigantic controller for this. And it seems like it might be coming back, sort of. The nickname for this controller, the Duke. Apparently, one of the original designers has actually been trying to put the Duke back on Xbox One and Windows 10. Microsoft just gave it the green light from Xbox designer Seamus.
They had it on the 360,
Blackley.
Though.
Hmm?
They had the Duke on the 360.
Well, now it's coming back for the Xbox One. And an appropriate time, too, because we know that original Xbox games are going to be playable on Xbox One, like Crimson Skies, right? So what better time for this controller to come back? However, I do want to state out this will not be a Microsoft product. This will be a peripheral from Hyperkin, who puts out a lot of that stuff. Apparently, they're now doing that center thing that was like a jewel thing with the Xbox logo. It's not going to be an OLED screen, so that might be kind of neat. Maybe they'll do some different stuff with that. I mean, not that there's any like really official second screen support within the Xbox, because I don't even remember the name of it. That app that they had, is that dead? It's clearly dead. I don't even remember the fucking name of it.
It's gone.
Screen?
No, something else.
Oh my God, I can't even remember. That's how dead that thing is. I can't remember the name. But obviously it won't be supported within the controller. But smart glass. Thank you, ACTEFT. Winner, smart glass dinner. There it is.
Speaking of dead things, Microsoft wants to sell you a camera.
What, a camera?
They're testing USB camera support for streaming use on the Xbox One. Because, after all, there's been no cameras released for the Xbox One ever. I mean, Kinect, but we'll not...
But Kinect got shoved in a closet and locked.
Let's forget that even happened.
We'll never be heard from again.
But yes, they're going to support that so you can do like face cam and stuff like that on your game stream.
Oh, so that thing that we hoped the Xbox One would do when they first removed Kinect a couple years ago, right? They're finally going to maybe do.
I saw Kinect for the Xbox 360 for $8 at Goodwill the other day.
Wow, really?
I almost bought it.
Oh, wait, for the 360, not for the
360.
One. Oh, okay. I was like, if that was for Xbox One, I might have actually went and bought it for Xbox One. $8?
It could. Well,
I could do without pumpkin spice fraps for a couple days to do that.
Yeah, I don't think it was the Xbox One.
Oh,
version.
Bummer. Bummer.
Not bad, though.
YYR in chat says, Kinect may never be heard from again, but it will keep listening. I think that was some people's concerns with that device, actually. All right. Come on, Noel Gus, pointing out that Apple bought the sensor company that made Kinect. Maybe Flapples.
Apple Kinect.
Anyway, moving on to another story. This makes me like really sad, actually, and that is news that the Chinese Room, which is a studio in Britain that makes video games, such as probably their most well-known games are Everybody's Gone to the Rapture and Dear Esther, have laid off their staff, and they are going dark for a few months. The co-founder of the Chinese Room, Dan Pinchbeck, made a big blog post that talks about what's going on, saying that this is a temporary closure. It is something that's been in the works since earlier in the year. The decision has to do with financial pressures following a health scare. Yikes. And so they're pausing things to recharge. He put, quote, to cut a long story short, the situation between financial pressures, trying to keep the lights on for the employed team, the stress of end of development, health issues just wasn't a tenable thing anymore. It was time to take a break, recharge, recover, and have a good think about the future. Chinese Room still has two games in the works, The 13th Interior and Little Orpheus. It was assured in the blog post that these titles are still going to release as planned. He will interact with the community through social media, but the studio is no longer in full active development. The studio did assist employees in trying to secure positions elsewhere, since I guess they'd known for this for some time. Trying to end on a happy note. Is it the end of the Chinese Room? No, I don't think so. But it's the end of a chapter, and we hope you all can be patient with us whilst we figure out what happens next. And that makes me sad because I thought Everybody's Gone to the Rapture was a brilliant game. And I understand not everybody's into the walking simulators, which, you know. But I also think the internet has kind of, like, a lot of mob mentality online has really given the walking simulator type stuff, like it's just, it's a well-done story at the end of the day. Everybody's Gone to the Rapture is a really good story at the end of the day, and it's, yeah. You know, you can draw your own conclusions from it. You can either get a lot of exposition or very little, depending on how, you know, thorough you are with the exploring and so forth. I think the soundtrack is one of the most gorgeous soundtracks in a video game. So there's an awful lot I really like about the game. So I think it sucks that, you know, the internet kind of shits on this genre sometimes when there's, you know, brilliant art that comes out of it like this game. And, you know, I really hope that backlash or whatever you want to call it, I really hope that didn't play into what's happening to the studio now. It sounds like there may be some other issues, such as the health issues and so forth, that are a lot more scarier, you know, that are much bigger than a video game and so forth. So I get it from that standpoint. But hopefully the upcoming releases, the 13th Interior, Little Orpheus, hopefully they're good. You know, you know, I'm not going to be so nice if the games aren't good. But if the games are good, which, you know, I enjoyed their other games, so I would hope I'd like these games too. If the games are good, I hope it brings them the success that they deserve to be able to do more games in the future. Although it's going to be weird if they can't really have the same development team, you know. So, or maybe they'll be able to come back. I don't know. So, anyhow, little sad about that and the fact that that developer is kind of going through a big change right now. All right, before we get to the classic game of the week, which I will be doing tonight in Darksakura's absence, we have one more story from Loki.
Yes, and this is kind of hopefully the end of a long stretch of stories we've been talking about. So going back to last week, we were mentioning that, you know, first there was an NES emulator that was found randomly within the firmware of the, firmware of the NES Switch, or the Switch. And they also had the NES game Golf in there as well that was part of the Switch. And everyone's just wondering, what the hell is this? Why is this in here? Is this like something that's going to be coming out? You know, are they going to have this, you know, release or something? Well, apparently, there is a little bit more to the story. So
they figured it out.
They figured it out, yes. Yeah. So, and it, almost by accident, someone had somehow launched Golf, actually, without any sort of hacks, and launched the game. And they're like, wait, how did you do that? You know, and no one believed them at first, and then they found all this stuff. So what happened was, apparently, on July 11th, which is the anniversary of Iwata's death, if on July 11th, if you make the little motion, the direct-to-you motion that he does.
Kind of like the open hands kind of going forward, yeah.
Right to the screen. If you make that motion with the Switch controllers, it'll launch the game.
Hmm.
And it's only on July 11th, and it actually has to be on July 11th if it's connected to the internet, because it does check, you know, the time against the internet. Someone has managed to capture this on video because he had a Switch that wasn't connected to the internet yet, and so he set the date to July 11th, did the gesture, and sure enough, it booted up Golf.
That's awesome. That's a really neat tribute. You know, some people were kind of weirded out, though, by the fact that they did his date of death as a tribute and not like his birthday or you know, celebrating a type of other notable release or just any time. But, you know, I think that's also maybe like a culture thing as well. Like, you know, maybe it's a little weird in our culture, but in other cultures, sometimes that's how you celebrate. Or I think it was, I was reading something about it, like it's almost like a good luck thing. Like if you have that inspiration that's in your console, that it's actually, or you know, whatever it is you develop, that's actually like a good luck thing.
Yeah.
But like, you know, in some cultures, what we have, like we have holidays to celebrate dead people. Like that's, you know, that's what happens. So it's it's interesting. I wonder if this would have ever been found. I guess this was the way it was supposed to happen, I suppose. Some guy randomly accidentally gets it on July 11th and posts to a message board. Nobody believes him, but then finally somebody digs in the OS and finds, no, this guy, there's something to it, right? So
I guess next year on July 11th, a lot of people are going to be playing Golf.
Yeah. Dr. C in chat says, I learned in Japan they called it a omamori, a good luck charm. Yeah. Dark Tetsuya says that's the term they were throwing around over on Japanese Twitter. So there it is. And of course, Golf, Iwata had made Golf, just like he made
Balloon
Fight.
Yeah, they were saying that, I guess, no, there's a lot of people that refused to work on that game because they couldn't fit it within the cartridge size, but somehow he managed to get the code to fit.
All right, well, that is awesome. So I don't have a clever follow-up for that leading into our classic game of the week. So let's just get to our classic game of the week. Now, every week, Dark Soccer dives into the video game vault and finds a game that she thinks, hey, you little brats, you should be playing this game this week. But she's not here. So I'm taking over tonight because I thought it would be good tonight to do a timely submission, perhaps, a little bit for the classic game of the week. And I don't even know if Loki's ever played this, but we'll find out. So the classic game of the week, nope, sorry guys, not Halo. Classic game of the week is something a little timely this week. There's a very specific reason why I picked this today. So the classic game of the week, let's see if we can get some of the voice synthesizer in here to play.
Command of the Enterprise.
That's right.
Star Trek.
It is Star Trek, the 1982 release from Sega in the arcades. This is the Star Trek Strategic Operations Simulator. And it was an arcade release in 1982 from Sega, but it was ported to a variety of systems. I know I had played it on the Commodore 64 when I was younger, and it was also on, I think it was on the Apple as well. It was on
the Vectrex?
I think it was on Atari 2600 as well. I don't think it was on the Vectrex.
It was on the ColecoVision, I know that.
What's interesting about this game, it looks like Star Wars, which was around the same time, but Star Wars was Atari, if I remember right. These just both happen to be vector-based games. But the interesting thing that made Star Trek a little bit different is that in the Star Trek arcade game, you actually had like a split-screen thing going on. You had a map in the upper right. You had in the upper left like a bar that showed how many photon torpedoes you had and how many like laser beams and all that stuff you had. And then you had your actual like view play was on the bottom. And so remember, this was 1982 in the arcades. This is a little bit unheard of at the time to basically have like second screen type of stuff that was built into the game, or actually tertiary screens in this case. So that's kind of what made this game unique. I don't think that this game was ever as popular as Star Wars was, which was around, you know, the same year or the year later, but I think it was pretty cool just how like involved this game was. So what you did in this game, you got multiple views of the playfield, and of course you have to use and manage your shield energy and photon torpedoes and warp energy. You can replenish these by docking with star bases, but the Klingons aren't only attacking you, they're actually attacking the star base as well. So you have to be careful, and you can actually kill your star base by friendly fire, so you have to be careful. This game was actually controlled with a weighted spinner, so it wasn't really like a joystick. You actually had a little spinner, and that's how you use the ship heading control. And then you have buttons to do the impulse engines, warp engines, phasers, and photon torpedoes. The warp button was set a little bit away from the other buttons. That way you had to actually like you intentionally go and hit it, and you wouldn't be hitting it on accident, especially like if you're in the moment, you know, you want to make sure you don't actually accidentally hit that. So there you go. And then this was translated on a variety of different systems. An early review in the magazine Electronic Games said that this is sure to be a top grosser in the arcades this year. If you can squeeze through the crowd around the machine, you may never want to leave. I can only go back by my old memory, but I don't think this game ended up being as popular in the arcades at the time. But I remember it was a game it seemed like a lot of people did have on like home consoles and stuff. Like, obviously, we had it on Commodore 64. It was on Atari 2600, Apple II, you know, kind of those early... Well, YYR in chat is like freaking out going, holy shit, I played a Commodore 64 version of this and didn't remember it at all until just now. See? There you go. Classic game of the week. Awakening memories deep inside you.
Even some you may not want.
Since 2002. The designer of this game, Sam Palahniuk, I hope I said that right, who did this for Sega, which ended up developing and publishing the game. There you go. I don't know what else to say about it, but obviously I have picked this game tonight because of the fact that I know many people are probably not listening to OLR tonight because they're watching the Star Trek Discovery, which is the new TV series is airing tonight, which a little bit controversial because I know it's going on the CBS All Access thing and people are like, I don't really want to pay for another $10 a month thing. But, you know, despite that controversy, I do think it's great that
You'll just have to do what Game of Thrones fans do.
And pirate it,
probably. Pirate the shit out of it.
But anyway, I just think it's great that Star Trek is coming back to television. And, of course, I'm going to leave the rest of that discussion to our friends at the Starboard Power Coupling Podcast. We played their commercial last week, and they are very excited to be back this week with their discussion on the first two episodes, actually, because I believe you get the first episode on TV, but then on CBS All Access, the first two episodes are going to be there. So I think they may discuss both this week on Starboard Power Coupling. So look forward to that. Anyway, there it is, your classic game of the week, Star Trek, the arcade game from 1982, a strategical operations simulator. And I'm being very specific because there's been like 50 Star Trek games. So that's the one specifically I'm calling out.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase Sprout.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat saying the Orville greater than Discovery. You know what? I haven't seen either one, and I don't think you've seen Discovery yet, so I think it's a little early to say that, but I do think it's interesting that the Orville, the reason why people seem to like it is that it has a lot of the essence of what people really like about Star Trek. I mean, granted, it's in a separate universe or what have you, but it's interesting because it is on Fox, which is over the air, and it's kind of doing something that Star Trek Discovery isn't. And I really hope that decision by CBS doesn't like fuck Star Trek forever because of this decision. So I'm kind of hoping, because I don't know if you know this, but in every other country but the U.S., maybe Canada as well, I can't remember what the deal is in Canada, but I think every other country besides those two, Netflix is going to have the Star Trek show. So in every other country, you'll be able to watch it on Netflix. And so, yeah, you don't have to worry about getting a separate service because it'll be on the one that most people have. So I wonder if this show isn't going to do very, very, very well in other countries. But I guess CBS already made a good – like they spent like $8 million on this show. Well, $6 million of it came from the Netflix deal. So, yeah, right? Anyway. All right. Oh, yeah, that's right. Somebody did explain this to me. Bob Blackwell says it airs on cable TV in Canada. So they have like a cable TV channel up there. I think one of my buddies up there, I think, was even telling me about this. And I just forgot because I don't have a good memory. All right. And Kaijudo in chat points out, I use CBS Access for Big Brother. It's cool. You can watch a lot of crap on it. And admittedly, yeah, I got CBS All Access for Big Brother as well. And do you know how lit that celebrity version of Big Brother is going to be? I mean, it's Olympics counter programming, so it's going to be on the same time when a lot of people are distracted by the Olympics. But instead of just trying to air these shows that nobody's going to watch because the Olympics are on, CBS is going to try to do, you know, Celebrity Big Brother, which stands to, but that's going to be on it'll be on TV, but the live feeds will be on CBS All Access, and that's going to be nuts because that's celebrities. You know, in the big, well, I say celebrities, but it's
what kind
be,
of celebrities do they
well,
have?
If rumors are to be believed, Tiffany Pollard or New York, who's one of my faves, I think she'll do fantastic. Lance Bass, Dog the Bounty Hunter, some gal from Mob Wives. But again, these are rumors, and who knows what's going to change before this is really on TV. So it'd be interesting. But, I mean, maybe if Celebrity Big Brother brings people to CBS All Access, then people will be like, oh, shit, this is the Star Trek thing, too? I guess I should watch this. But I feel like most of the Star Trek fans will have just pirated it before that. That's just the reality. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. All right. Anyhow, we're going to take a break, you guys. When we come back, we have plenty more Orange Lounge Radio to come, including rapid fire news, as well as your emails at participate@orangeloungeradio.com and your phone calls. We will have Skype tonight at Orange Lounge Radio and more gaming news. So we will take a break. We'll be right back after this break with more of Orange Lounge Radio. Welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio Live tonight, episode number 701 in progress for this September the 24th of 2017. Myself and Loki with you here tonight. Dark Sakura is out sick, but I hope she feels better a lot soon. Although I notice over where Dark Sakura usually sits during the show, I notice my husband Alan has his he has his ASMR stuff all set up. Do you know what this is, Loki? The ASMR. Have you heard of this?
No.
This is something I've just been learning more about recently. Is it's this whole. Okay, so I guess like there's this you can find these YouTube videos out there, and it's you know, it's people that are talking. They're talking very softly into a microphone, and the way they talk, it's supposed to like make chills go down your spine.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And like, but they'll do things like it's not just the talking, but then it's like they'll like rub things. They'll rub the microphone. It's like this. I guess it's supposed to be like, and people say it's like a massage for the brain.
No, I understand. I know the feeling, but like I don't know.
Well, the first video I ever saw was this lady who eats a pickle really slowly, and like, you know, she's. And this is like the noise of the pickle is like, but like, see, some people that would drive them nuts, that noise, because yeah. Like, you know, some people don't like to hear other people eat. Like I have a friend who really hates that, but you know, I can't help but, you know, think of that. But anyway, so Alan likes to watch these videos, and I guess some people feel it and some people don't. So Alan's kind of one of the people that feels it. And but now he likes to make the slime stuff he sees in some of the videos, because that's, I guess, gives him that texture type feedback. So if you ever wondered what happens to Jamie's spot during the week when she's not here, it turns into I keep calling it Ass Master because ASMR it turns in.
It's Ass Mister.
It's Ass. Oh, Ass Mister. I like that better. It's because people are going to get a different impression if I say Jamie's chair turns into Ass Master when she's not here. But no, it's ASMR headquarters. Ass Mister. So there it is. So going to our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. ActDefted Chat says it's ASMOLR. Do you know how much money those YouTubes make? Like if you do like that lady who makes the pickles, that video probably has millions of hits. Like, she could probably fucking retire off eating pickles on YouTube. Like,
there's people
crazy.
That play toys.
Yeah.
And play with toys and film it. And my son watches the shit out of that crap.
It's so, like, oh my gosh. It's so...
And it's a never-ending cycle, too, because you get your kid to play with toys, and then the companies pay, you know, that, or pay you for that, and then they also send you free toys to promote. It never ends. I need to do that with Legos. Seriously, Legos have been like crack. I am a fucking crack addict when it comes to that shit now.
That might be a fun thing to stream is Lego building. Like stream it on Twitch and then archive it on YouTube.
They do that sometimes. They'll do speed builds and stuff. But like,
yeah, but it's not me. I'm funny.
I mean, it takes a long time though. Like the last set I put together took 12 hours.
Wow.
Because it's a big set.
Let's see. Bobby Blackwolf points out there was a guys on a show episode about people chewing. Well, now you know which one of my friends I was referring to a moment ago. All right. Anyhow,
people chewing. I don't remember guys on a show episode about chewing.
I don't remember an episode. I think it was like the discussion at the top of the show. Oh. I don't think that was the main topic of the show, but I think it came up at some point during the show. Anyway, I missed that show. I do really want to bring it back, you guys, but you know, Xverse just been really busy, as have I. So I don't want to go too far down this road, but I did mention at Dragon Con I was, you know, finding a lot of inspiration, and it's part of the reason why I want to get more motivated to do the segment for, you know, Pogo Podcast that I'm doing. But I am considering adding another podcast to the platter. I'm in that mode now where I think I have an idea in my head, and the little hamster gears are turning, so we'll see. Anyway. All right, let's move on. We're going to get into some more news, rapid fire news, in fact.
Yes.
Starting with Loki.
So here's a mobile game we haven't heard of in a while, but Super Mario Run is getting an update. That's right, they're adding a whole new world. So
don't you dare close your eyes. Yeah. A whole new world.
I see, you know, right as I said that, I was like, oh my God, he's going to do that. And sure enough, not disappointed whatsoever.
Have I become predictable after 700 episodes of this show?
No. I'm just used to my wife doing that kind of crap.
Okay.
I like
your wife.
So the new one is going to be, they said it's going to have like a Remix 10 is what it's called. So it's basically bite-sized sections of the game's current levels with new bonus medals. So they have repeatable challenges. And they're also adding a new playable character. Princess Daisy will become a playable character as well. And so also with that, you're going to be able to play your own music in the background instead of the game music. And when you do that, your characters will wear headphones. So they have a picture of Mario with headphones on.
So. Headphone Mario.
Beats by Bowser. Yeah.
I like that, Beats by Bowser.
And then, of course, if you haven't jumped into the game yet, they're going to be marketing it on sale September 29th. It's going to be half price, so $5 instead of $10. So check it out. All right, and then you know, with the prevalence of Wii U emulators, there is a whole ton of shit that they've been doing with the whole Wii emulation or Wii U emulation scene. And of course, one of the games that's gotten a lot of focus is the whole Breath of the Wild. So Breath of the Wild runs fantastic in emulators. In fact, they've gotten it to run 4K and all sorts of things. And now modding has become a part of that. So all sorts of mods in there. There's a few new character mods, including putting CJ or Carl Johnson from Grand Theft Auto San Andreas in the game, or Steve from Minecraft. And they have you know, a picture with Link wearing Cappy and a mustache as well.
Do they have the mod like they have in Skyrim for like maybe when the Red Moon happens, it's Macho Man starts playing?
No, they don't have that yet. But, I mean, it's interesting to see.
And then the moon turns into Randy Macho Man Savage. Oh, yeah.
See all these different mods for the game. I want to see some for Mario Kart. I wonder if they've got some for that. But, yeah, I haven't played on my emulator in a while, but it runs really well in my system. So I need to maybe go back and check that out again.
I'm having a laugh at this conversation in chat. YYR in chat says, is Headphone Mario wearing anything besides the headphones? And Corky follows that up with, yes, his mustache. All right, moving on to some other rapid-fire stories for the week. You know, I didn't miss this one, you guys, from Tokyo Game Show. It's not specifically about Sony, but I'm very excited to hear about Kunio-kun, the World Classics Collection. It's going to come out on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. It's 11 Kunio-kun Classics. And if you don't know what Kunio-kun is, well, then let me tell you about the four Western games also included as bonus titles that weren't released in Japan that are part of this collection, and you'll know real quick what Kunio-kun is: Renegade, Super Dodgeball, River City Ransom, and Crash and the Boys Street Challenge. That's right, it's the little characters from River City Ransom and Super Dodgeball. So of course they've had some more games that have been released over in Japan. There's like several dodgeball games. There's a hockey game, a soccer game. So anyhow, all the games in the Kunio-kun collection will have support for online play. As you clear missions in the title, you can customize your avatar and your game screen, and additional replayability elements as well. So that's really exciting. Especially, I'm very excited to hear it's coming out on Switch, because then that's something that you can take with you on the go as well. And, you know, these are older games anyway, so it's not like you're going to need the biggest technology to play them. So that's very, very cool. What else could be cool, speaking of the Nintendo Switch? Apparently, a Netflix customer service rep, so take it with a grain of salt, because it's not like it's, you know, a director of, publicity or something. A Netflix customer service rep told Go Nintendo, or a user at that site anyway, that Netflix is locked and loaded for the Nintendo Switch. Netflix has been trying to get permission from Nintendo to launch the app on the console, but no results yet. Once Nintendo approves it, the Netflix Nintendo Switch app will launch and be added to the eShop. No surprise here. I think the only surprise out of this is that somebody at Netflix is saying something about it, but you guys, customer service sometimes is outsourced to other companies. So with all due respect, this person may have no additional information that you or I have. Usually, the customer service reps, the thing is that those positions, you know, with phone stuff, they tend to be very high attrition, so people come and go, basically, you know. So you don't always give them the secrets, because they're the folks that tend to leave and go somewhere else, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they usually find things out the day everybody else finds them out. So it's a little weird to me that they would know about this, but, you know, they might know a guy in another department or something, you know. Regardless, it was probably inappropriate of them to say something about this on the outside. But at the same time, is this really shocking news that Netflix is probably not the holdout about Netflix being on the Switch? Does that surprise you, Loki, to hear that Netflix is not – the problem with Netflix on the Switch is not Netflix. Does that surprise you?
Yeah.
It does?
No.
Oh, okay. I was like – Surely you're being sarcastic.
Of course I am.
Loki, don't fuck with me tonight. I'm not in a good mood. All right, just kidding. Dark Tetsuya in chat says, I'm sure Netflix on Switch is inevitable. YYR in chat says, I think it would be more shocking if Netflix didn't have an app ready. I'm just curious again. I know I've said this 1,000 times, but I'm very curious about the whole fact, like, will you really be able to pick it up and take it on the go with you? I mean, in the house, certainly it would still work off Wi-Fi. But, I mean, like, something like Riverdale, which you can download to your device, can I pick that up and leave the house and watch it? Because maybe it's buffered in the background. Like, at a certain point, the Switch will tell me, like, boom, the episode's completely downloaded, and I can pick it up and take it with me on public transit wherever I want to go. I don't know. We'll see. Sounds like it's up to Nintendo to tell us that.
You can download it to the Switch's massive 32 gigabytes of storage.
Yeah. Well, believe it or not, those movies are not very big. They're maybe less than a gigabyte. So, you know, you could download a couple things. You can't download a lot, but you get to have one or two things at a time. That's not crazy. So, anyhow, let's go and travel around the world and check out some video games coming out in other countries like the U.S. to start, Loki.
Yes, and so this is probably a game that Jamie is playing, Danganronpa V3.
Oh, Killing that's Harmony. Why she's not here tonight. Danganronpa.
It's on PlayStation 4, Vita, and PC. DWVR on PlayStation Vita. Fallout 4 Game of the Year Edition on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Hob on PC and PlayStation 4. Lightfield on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Light Tracer on PlayStation 4. This one's kind of a cool looking game, Megaton Rainfall, which is on PlayStation 4 and PSVR. It's a like first person superhero game in VR, so that looks kind of cool. Pinball FX number 3, and that's going to be coming out on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Raid World War 2 on PC. Ruiner on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Senran Kagura Peach Beach Splash on PlayStation 4. That's a pretty nice title. Sinamora EX on the Switch. SteamWorld Dig 2 on PlayStation 4 and the Vita. Outcast Second Contact on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. The Legend of Heroes Trails of Cold Steel 3 on PlayStation 4. Total War Warhammer 2 on PC. Cuphead on PC and Xbox One. FIFA 18 on PC, the Switch, PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, Xbox 360, and Xbox One. Gundam Versus on PlayStation 4. This isn't really counted as a release, but because, you know, the whole Super NES Classic Edition is coming out on Friday, they also mentioned Star Fox 2, which I guess technically is being released, but that's kind of a stretch.
That is a little bit of a stretch, but I guess...
I did want to mention, though, and since you're a fan, Cold Step Revolt is coming out the following week.
Oh yeah, I am excited about that. That is that's I know they were promoting that a little bit on like it has its own little like 3DS collectible puzzle piece thing and all that too. So that's pretty exciting.
Cool.
Yeah. All right, let's travel to Japan and check out what is going to be coming out in Japan. And let's see, looking at the list for September the 28th, we have coming out Fire Emblem Musou is out in Japan. I believe that is on PlayStation 4. That is a new Nintendo 3DS game. Sorry, my list this week doesn't have it separated by what platform they're on, so it's a little more challenging for me. So that is on the new 3DS this week. Also coming out this week, we have Knack 2 gets its Japanese release on the 28th. There's also Fire Emblem Musou in a premium box, so that is something to look forward to as well, which is on the Switch as well as the 3DS. They have a game called Nora Princess, and Stray Cat comes out this week, and that is on the PlayStation Vita. Looks like it might be based off an anime. And then also in Japan, Fallout 4 gets a new Game of the Year edition, so it's like a price reduction. So that is coming out as well.
That's the collector. It's basically the game DLC.
Yeah,
they're releasing over here too.
That whole thing is out in Japan as well. And then, of course, FIFA 18 will be a big release, and that is out on the PlayStation 4 this week. Let's take a trip over to the UK, Loki.
All right, so we have E-Valkyrie Warzone on PC and PlayStation 4, Lightfield on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, Ruiner on PC, Xbox One, PlayStation 4. On the Switch, we have the original Mario Brothers, also a game on PC called Twickles, I guess. Picross S on the Switch, and Blue Reflection on PC.
All right. Let's go to the mailbag, because you guys, sometimes you send us emails. And all the time, we like to read them. You can send us an email by emailing us at participate@orangeloungeradio.com. Usually Dark Sakura is here to read your emails, but since she's under the weather tonight, I will be filling in those duties in her place. Let's start with an email from Martin, the Belgian, who emails us this week. Dearest OLR, congratulations on reaching 700 episodes. It is an epic milestone, and not many podcasts will ever reach that many episodes. It is a testament to how committed you guys are, and it is great to see you have built a real sense of community for so many listeners every Sunday night. Like gathering with a group of friends around a campfire and sharing stories. Perfect. I have been listening to this show for probably close to 10 years at this point, and it has definitely become a part of my Monday mornings as I wake up at work and listen to the podcast. Thank you for always being there to provide some Monday morning entertainment. Rob, it was great meeting you in person at Dragon Con. Having listened to you guys for so long, I was definitely a little nervous and starstruck meeting you and Bobby in person. Sorry if I was a bit awkward. Next year, we should go and have some shots of Stroop Waffle together. Keep up the great show as always. Hugs, Martin the Belgian. You didn't strike me as nervous or awkward at all. So I'm actually only regretful I didn't get to spend like more time with people, but they were kind of, you know, for logistical reasons. I don't fault them for it at all. They kind of had to shoo us off the stage to prep the next panel, right? So what we really need to do, I think one of the best things we ever did was, remember the year we went to PAX in Seattle? So that was 2008. Yeah. So that was the year I was really sick. So we went to PAX in to Seattle, and that was, we were with All Games then.
Yeah.
So I think we were wasn't the All Games broadcast going the whole time? I think Bobby was doing that.
Yeah, they had this whole like side table thing that was like in a hallway.
And other shows that were on the network at the time were coming and going. So that was the whole thing that we were doing that year. And the reason why I bring it up is that one thing I remember we did is we did like a dinner somewhere one night where we actually,
I remember that. Yeah, wasn't that really cool? Asian restaurant.
Yeah, and we got to meet like a bunch of listeners. It was like, hey, we're gonna go like to this dinner place. You know, of course, then when the check came out, it was a nightmare to split. But maybe we could find like a counter diner place or something. We could find a place to go eat at together and say we're gonna have the VOG dinner at XYZ time during Dragon Con. I think that'd be really cool. Except for the fact that Dragon Con is so fucking crowded. To do something like that, you probably have to go like a ways away from the main center venue. But I don't know. I learned, you know, my fifth year at Dragon Con, I'm learning more tricks about where to eat. And that if you walk a certain direction, just like two blocks away, you're going to find restaurants with no wait whatsoever. Because like everybody is in that fucking Peachtree Center or, you know, wherever. So, yeah. So anyway, I bring that up because I think it would be really cool to maybe do something like that in a future year, like next year, because we already have VOG Suite booked for 2018. So we're coming back next year, and hopefully we'll still get to be a part of the podcast track, and that will be awesome. And, you know, I say to people that meet us for the first time, like, realistically, like, first off, there's no need to be starstruck. We're gaming fans just like you guys. We just started this show so long ago, but I'm very honored that people like get excited, you know, since I also kind of get it, like, you've been listening to us but you've never met us for maybe, you know, 10 years. That's a very long time, so like I get it. But, you know, trust me, we don't pay our bills with anything we make from this show, so until we're at that level, I don't think we're really that famous. So we're probably just as starstruck to meet you as you are to meet us, for what it's worth. But
yeah, my coworker the other day, I like told him about how we had 700 episodes. He's like, so are you guys making money off of that? I'm like, no. Like, why not? You should. Other podcasts do. Look at like Joe Rogan's. I'm like,
yes,
yeah,
this is Joe Rogan.
And I don't think it works like that. You can't just like just do that. Oh, okay, I'm just gonna make money now.
Yeah,
maybe you can, but like,
sorry, I'm laughing because in chat, Act Deft in chat says, "Winner, winner, chicken dinner," and that's what we can have at Dragon Con. I love it. Only if it can be like Southern fried chicken. There you go. All right. Moving on. One more email this week from Sam. It's short and sweet, but I'm going to read this anyway from Sam. Hello, OLR crew. Show 700 was very special just because it was a regular show. Good call. Do any of you think... Well, first off, thank you for that. You know, like, sometimes I think that's the best way to do it, to just acknowledge the big event and then do what people show up for every week. You know, I think if we had spent 3 hours just talking about ourselves or doing a retrospective or something, that's not the show you guys necessarily signed up to hear.
Yeah.
Retrospectives are good though, don't get me wrong, but those can be like specials or something. Like, and sometimes we do those too. Remember when we did that marathon show for 9 hours? That was pretty great. All right, anyway. So moving on with Sam's email. Do any of you think Nintendo should have put the NES and SNES classic systems on the Switch to increase sales? Thank you, Sam. Well, Sam, I think that's a kind of a common complaint here at Orange Lounge Radio, is kind of one of those, what are they doing? When we see that the NES and the Super Nintendo games, they're on the Wii, they're on the Wii U, but for whatever reason, they're not on the Switch. And I think I've said this before on the show, and I'm going to say it again, is that don't get your hopes up that those NES and those SNES classic games are going to show up on the Switch, at least not in the same way. We know that Nintendo is working on something with this whole online system that they're doing, that you're going to be able to play games. It sounds like NES games like Balloon Fight, I think, is one that they've kind of shown. Mm-hmm. That you'll be able to play it across the internet, okay, basically, and that's going to be the new thing. The thing we said Virtual Console should have done like 10 years ago, they're finally going to be bringing into that. But that may not be Virtual Console. I think if Nintendo does Virtual Console for Switch, it's going to be GameCube games, maybe Wii games, if that, you know, the HD, you know, the control system kind of works with Wii, if they emulate that all right, you'll have that. But like GameCube games and like the newer Nintendo games, I don't think you're going to have the older stuff. That is going to be reserved for the online component, which will, because you're going to be paying a monthly fee for that, it may or may not overlap really with the NES and the SNES classics.
Yeah.
I think we've been sitting here for a while going, it would be great if Nintendo just releases a bundle on the Switch that's all these classic games, and I think people would be very happy But Nintendo is gonna Nintendo, and sometimes the things that they do don't always make sense to us in the moment.
Well, at least from what I've been hearing, just following the whole SNES Classic thing, it does sound like that they are getting a lot more systems per location. At least everybody that's been posting online, they've said, you know, my GameStop only got 9 NES Classic Editions. They're getting 30 of the SNES. So, and a lot of the other locations like Walmart and Best Buy are getting, you know, double-digit numbers. You know, significant double-digit numbers. So,
okay.
Hopefully that's a good sign.
So, fingers crossed, this may be...
I'm actually going to try. I'm just going to, for the fuck of it, I'm just going to stop by Walmart on that day just to see if it's there,
just to see.
And I'm not getting my hopes up or whatever. I'm just gonna see.
Is it
just
limited,
curious.
Here's my question: is it limited to the places that Nintendo was saying, or like would you be able to find it at more independent stores, or maybe even other chains like Fry's is one that comes to mind? Because
Fry's, maybe
always forget that Fry's has the same fucking games everybody else does.
Fry's, maybe. I would think like big box stores are gonna probably have it. Independent chains are usually third rate when it comes to publishers, so they're gonna supply the big box stores first.
Act Deft in chat says you'll probably have better luck at Target, and you know what, I tend to agree. You'll probably have better luck at Target. You know what, I don't know if the Target app still does it, but it used to, because that's how I found a Wii U. You could go into the Target app and it'll tell you like it's in stock at this store or it's not.
I may try that.
Yeah, you may just for fun.
I'm curious.
If you're going to go to Walmart, I'm going to tell you exactly which one to go to. I don't mean to get too local, but do you know how we joke about the Walmart in the middle of nowhere?
The one over by Anatolia?
No, it's not over there. It's over, like, you got to go, like, okay, so the... you go the other way.
Yeah, I know.
Down, and there's a Walmart out there where you're like, where's the fucking people out here? There's no people. Try that one, because that would be the one I would try.
That's a little out of my way, but...
It is a little out of the way, but...
I just figured I'd try the one by my house since it's right by my house.
Ooh, SSGO 100 Matt with a good point in chat saying, doesn't help that this Friday is Yom Kippur. Oh, I didn't realize that, but that's right. Some people are going to be doing, you know, things related to that, and they can't necessarily just go out shopping. So, interesting. All right. Anyway, YYR points out, though, it's Friday night into Saturday, so I guess maybe you could go out in the morning, but you're not going to be able to maybe hunt all day long, so... All right. Anyhow, that was it for emails tonight. Thank you guys for the emails. Send us more for next week. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com if you want to participate with Mailbag next week. We do have some more news for you guys before we get to the Skype line at Orange Lounge Radio. Let's get to Loki with the next story.
So as we were talking about the whole Steam review changes and stuff and how people are review bombing stuff, one of the games that came up, of course, was NBA 2K18. There was a huge backlash after their whole virtual currency, this is literally what they call it because they couldn't think of anything creative to call it, was kind of fucking up
everything.
Fake
money didn't fly
very
well.
It was kind of fucking up everything because one of the big gripes with this, and they've been doing virtual currency since 2K13, but one of the big gripes is that the virtual currency this time around, they're really whoring that shit. So like it would take several games of actually playing to earn that virtual currency to actually level up, and that's only if you like got the best stats in the game, whereas it could take several hours of grinding. On top of that, the stuff that you get and unlock, the different customizables, they're not transferable between your characters, and like the haircuts in the game, instead of actually unlocking the haircut to be able to toggle it on and off and stuff, they're going the whole Destiny 2 route, and they are... consumables. So you get your haircut, which originally was costing, you know, I think it was like 500 VC or something like that. So it was one game. But now they've dropped the price of the actual haircuts down to 100 VC. Haircut, I'm sorry, it was 1500 originally. So they would give you like, I think 5 or 6,000 to begin with. And then now they're kind of dropping the prices of all that because people aren't too happy with it. And they're looking to see about maybe changing some of the other balancing. It still sucks, though, that they're doing this and don't support it.
Well, I guess at least the company is kind of listening to the feedback for better or
worse. A little bit. But, like, I mean, they've been doing it this long. They just have to find the right balance between fucking over their consumers and them noticing.
All right. Well, moving on this week, a lot of people's childhoods got a harsh taste of reality this week, and I'm sure you all know. It's a little quiet and coming through, but the Toys R Us song. I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid. Well, you're going to have to grow up and face the facts that sometimes when you don't pay your bills, you go bankrupt. So that is what's happening with Toys R Us, and it's unfortunate because, you know, I think a lot of us have fond memories of going to Toys R Us and pulling the tag for a game. Do you know, did I tell you when Shane and I went to Chico, because he was hunting for Power Rangers, when we drove up to Chico, which is like a good, you know, 90 minutes, 2 hours away from here, we drove up there on a search for some damn Power Rangers toys, but we freaked out when we went to the gaming section because we're like, oh my god, they still have tags here that you pulled to take up to the front.
Yeah, I mean,
what,
like,
the fuck? This is a,
like,
time
I
capsule.
I want to say, like, there weren't a whole lot of department stores. Like, it wasn't like, you know, this is before, like, the whole Walmart and Target thing. I mean, Toys R Us was, like, the fucking big-ass toy store. It's like, it was a fucking event to go Toys R Us.
Now, to be clear, they just filed for bankruptcy, so they're not, and Bobby's kind of yelling some of this in chat, they're not closing all their stores or anything like that. Not yet, anyway, but this isn't necessarily a very good sign that they have filed for bankruptcy. However, what does this have to do with gaming? Well, some of you get your games there, but some people were wondering with some of the news about how suppliers were not even letting Toys R Us buy from them unless Toys R Us basically paid cash up front.
Yeah, that's typical.
Some people were wondering, is Toys R Us still going to get the Super Nintendo Mini? And the answer is yes. There will be a limited supply of the console. Remember, Toys R Us didn't do pre-orders. So there will be a limited supply of the console, but Super Nintendo Minis may still be available to purchase, or excuse me, will still be available to purchase if your store got enough, from launch day, which is September 29th. Stores will open at normal time and have limited inventory of the console. So we encourage customers to get in line before doors open on Friday morning for the chance to scoop up this hot item. So maybe the one takeaway with this is that some people were maybe thinking Toys R Us was going to be their best bet because they didn't take pre-orders. But it sounds like Toys R Us may just not have a very healthy stock of these. So you may be risking it going to Toys R Us. So you are going to – my honest advice to you is, like, try to split up and hit, like, if you are in a household that has more than one person and one is going to be enough for you, because most of these places are probably going to limit one per customer. But if one is going to be enough for your household, you go one store, have your partner go to another store, you know, have a friend that doesn't really care but will help you out, go to a third store, spread out, divide and conquer. That might be the best way to do it. All right. Rama in chat over at live.vognetwork.com points out this isn't the first time Toys R Us has filed for bankruptcy. Well, Toys R Us isn't quite the event that it used to be, right? It's not.
Yeah,
do your kids get excited about Toys R Us trips?
They like going there every now and then. Although the one time that, well, it was like, we can go to the bookstore or we can go to Toys R Us. Which one are you going to want? We want to go to the bookstore. Why? Because we want to play at the train table there. Like, there's a train table over at, which I don't understand either, because they have a fucking train table in our house.
Loki, most parents would be thrilled that their kids want to go read books. Well,
No. I want to look at goddamn Legos. And there's more Legos there.
Oh, this isn't about them. It's about
no,
you.
No, it's about my crack addict, okay? It's not about the kids. It's about me needing to sniff the crack, okay?
Tell them. You know what? Tell them next time they want to go to Barnes & Noble to play with the train set, just tell them, Barnes & Noble threw it in the trash.
No, see what happens. They would get confused. No, they play at the train table and stuff, and I occasionally look at the Legos, and I balk at how everything's so expensive, but I want it, and that's usually it.
All right, moving on. Loki, how about some more gaming news?
All right, so Minecraft is still continuing on their Better Together updates, so now it's available now on most of the legacy devices. So right now, that update, of course, the one that allows you to play across multiple devices, different platforms, they have that drop now on Xbox One, Windows 10, mobile, VR, and the Switch version will be coming soon. But that's pretty exciting. I still have yet to go back in there and actually try it on Windows 10 version. I'm curious to see how that is. It's great news if everybody wants to play together. I think that we have to do that in the Realms area. It also offers the ability to share invite links to the Realms, which is basically their version of, like, servers, which I still think that costs money each month, but it's kind of interesting to go. It would be interesting to go back to that. I remember when we ran a server, if it wasn't such a pain in the ass, I'd still do it. It was just, you know, even it wasn't that expensive. It was like $5 a month, but
it was just kind of a pain in the ass to do updates, especially when you have mods and doing updates. It's just a pain in the ass to do that.
Yeah.
But maybe vanilla. We could do vanilla. I don't know.
Yeah. The VOG Minecraft server was a fun thing for a little while. For the.
But I would maybe be more willing to do this because then this way, a lot more people I would think to be maybe hopefully be able to play because it's on console and you can just go check it out there.
I bet that would be awesome. All right. Also, some awesome news from Nintendo. Catching up with the digital age. This is great. There is now a new app authenticator for Nintendo. So you can actually get two-factor authentication on your Nintendo account, which, you know, in this day and age when we have stolen passwords left and right from break-ins and what have you, I shit you not, this week I had text messages while I was sleeping on Wednesday or Thursday night. My Blizzard account got like five text messages. Your Blizzard authenticator code is bling, and this code bling, like came in five times. Somebody was fucking trying to get into my Blizzard account, and I guess had somehow figured out my password, which isn't this interesting. I use a unique password for Blizzard that I don't use anywhere else. So not only do I use a unique password I don't use anywhere else, but I also have two-factor authentication on, and somehow somebody got the Blizzard password. I'd really like to know how that happened because I don't have to log into Blizzard anything anywhere, like ever. So it's very strange to me that that happened.
Yeah, that's weird.
But anyway, for whatever reason, I got a bunch of Blizzard. So I went in and I changed my password. But thankfully, two-factor authentication saved somebody going in there and, you know, probably trying to get in my WoW account. Although, joke's on them. I canceled that a while ago. So anyway, maybe you don't want somebody getting into your Nintendo account and, you know, buying stuff that they turn around and sell. Like, what was the big thing on Xbox? It's the fake
FIFA
money.
FIFA card. Yeah,
FIFA. It's the fake money shit, like NBA 2K18 stuff. Mm-hmm. That's the stuff they get in there and they buy a bunch of it and sell it. So anyway, good news. Nintendo's catching up to this, maybe because of NBA 2K18. Who knows? But, yeah, I would definitely recommend you enable the two-factor authentication. I think that would be a great idea. To enable it, you go to Nintendo's login web portal over at accounts.nintendo.com/login. And then you're going to check out the sign-in and security section. You have to verify your email address, and then you can enable the two-factor authentication. Every new login from your Nintendo account requires authorization from you besides just the login and password via an app or a code texted to you, which is kind of the modern way of how most of these things work. So good job, Nintendo, getting on that TFA before you start charging people for online. Good job. Just a couple more stories for you guys, and then it'll be Skype line time. But first, Loki.
All right. And then this is a shock to no one, but hey, remember that Super Mario 64 online game? Yeah, there was no way that wasn't going to get a copyright strike. And, of course, that's what happened. They've been copyright striking the crap out of any videos that were posted on there, on YouTube at least, with it. And, of course, you know, apparently the developer of the online game has been basically stating that it's going to take a break from it for a little bit until after Super Mario Odyssey comes out. And then they're going to, you know, hopefully release some updates after that. But, yep, I'm not surprised that this happened. I mean, why not? It makes sense.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of us are very surprised at this at all.
But it's just the videos so far that have been taken down. I don't think they've actually tried to...
The Patreon's gone, too, I'm pretty sure.
I don't know if the Patreon's gone yet, but
I think it was. I think that was the big problem.
Let's see here.
It was the guy making money off it.
Oh, yes. Okay, so they did a strike against the Patreon thing, and the YouTube videos were down. He hasn't received a cease and desist yet, but it may come to that if he doesn't stop updating it. But it's out there now, so it's too late.
Honestly, the Patreon was the real problem here. I think Nintendo kind of would have done this eventually anyway, especially with all the blog coverage it was getting. But the Patreon like made it happen faster. Because the fact that the guy was getting money off of it, I mean, no matter what you want to say, the reality is Nintendo was going to say he's making money off of our character, and that's a no-no. You know, there's
technically they're right. I mean,
there's only so many ways you can spin that. I mean, I thought the mod was great, and I wish he could work on the mod, but he's going to have to find other ways to get compensation from people.
Nintendo, can you please carry forward with this idea?
Right?
That would be awesome to see, like, old games with, like, a twist like this.
I know. I kind of love it. Like, they went back and they redid Excite Bike not that long ago, where it's, like, online now. You know, it was just a little shitty thing, but it was cool for a week. You know, so I think it would be neat to go back to Mario 64 and add some of this stuff into it. So Or maybe these games just need to find new collaborations, such as they did in our last story tonight with Sonic Forces. That's right. In an announcement at Tokyo Game Show 2017, there is going to be an official collaboration between Sonic Forces and Hooters. That's right, but this is Hooters in Japan. I didn't even know Hooters was in Japan.
Is Hooters in Japan a classier joint, or is it? What's the difference?
I've never been to Hooters in Japan. Maybe the menu items? I don't know.
Hopefully their food doesn't suck.
Has anyone in chat ever been to Hooters? I feel like okay, so here's the thing. We didn't have Hooters in California for the longest time, right? It was like a thing where it was like, oh, we've heard of this. But that's like
I think they've closed down all the Hooters over here.
The only one that I know of that's still running is the one in Rancho. It's still open.
No, it's not.
It's not?
Yeah, it's closed.
Oh, shit. No, maybe they
are
all closed.
Right there
it's
by Zinfandel. The freeway?
Yeah.
It's gone.
Oh, shit. No, that was still open not that long ago.
No, it's gone, yeah.
Then maybe they are all gone. I don't know. But anyway, well, I guess they're gone. Well, here's the thing. Like, you know, when they first finally came to California after all this time, it was like, oh, let's go to Hooters. And then I think everybody realized,
their food sucks.
Their food sucks. And, you know, I was always, you know, obviously I've made no secret that I'm gay on this show. So, you know, the ladies at Hooters don't really do it for me, but I always thought they were really nice and friendly.
They were very friendly. We always chatted. It was a little weird. Yeah. I mean, it was just kind of like, hey, why are you sitting down at my table to take my order? That's a little weird.
I always thought it was
interesting. I get it that you're trying to be friendly and busty, but you know, it's just. It's weird. And it wasn't that I remember we went to the one that was with Annie and Jim, actually. We hadn't gone, and we went there.
That's Flacco Jones and wife.
Yes, Flacco Jones and wife. So we went there, and I remember I got a hamburger, and the hamburger was kind of crap. And then I was like, okay, well, everybody says the wings are good, so I'm going to try the wings. It took an hour to get wings, and they were not good. I did not like them. But then again, to be fair, I don't like buffalo wings, but I've tried their wings in different sauces, other Hooter locations, and I've been to three or four different ones, not liking any of them. Their food was just, no thanks.
Well, sure enough, so I'm looking at the news from the SAC B on June 9th, the Hooters in Rancho Cordova closed. The second Hooters closing in a year because the one over by Arden Mall closed. I'm sorry. I know this is a worldwide podcast, but you don't have to. This involves our Hooters.
This is local news, okay?
But it involves our Hooters, and so this is important. This was a decision made by the landlord as they exercised the right to terminate the lease, pursuing a different direction with the property. So they didn't want a Hooters there anymore.
That's dumb.
It's kind of dumb.
I thought it was just because
that's
they
what
were
happened
not
to Farrell's, you know, that turned into Old Spaghetti Factory recently. Because that place, Farrell's, was always fucking hopping.
We don't like ice cream. Fuck you guys.
It's just
this kind of clientele is not good for us.
Oh my!
We want Hooters there.
The one in Arden. Did you know what it's getting turned into? I had no idea.
What?
The one in Arden, a Sizzler. That's funny. Yeah, in April it was announced that the site would become
a Sizzler. We're
classing
up this place with Sizzler. Fuck this Hooters nonsense.
But the SACB does point out there is one remaining Hooters, and it's the one in Natomas, the one by the movies in Natomas.
How ironic.
Yeah, how ironic. There it is. All right. Now you're all up to speed on the local Hooters drama. Dark Tosia in our chat room found us a Hooters of Japan menu. So they have such things like salads with Cobb salad, shrimp and spinach salad. This is all the same shit you can get here, right? There's nothing really.
I think so, yeah.
I don't think I see anything that's out of the norm, really. Do they have all these sandwiches and stuff at the ones?
I think so.
Mussel with garlic butter. That sounds fancy for seafood. So maybe they have a couple extra items, but not really. So sounds kind of very similar to what we have here. Anyway, where the fuck were we? Oh, yeah. Sonic the Hedgehog and Hooters. They're going to be doing a collaboration, but the collaboration starts in the middle of October, and further information is to come. They didn't really say what it's going to be and if Amy will be involved, but I somehow think not. What do you think the Sonic and Hooters collaboration will be? I would say tweets from the Sonic the Hedgehog account for sure. What?
Well, the only thing I can think that's in common with Hooters and Sonic the Hedgehog is the Hooters food makes you gotta go fast. So, I mean, that's kind of a tie-in right there. Other than that, I have no idea. But you know what?
Good night, everybody. Show's canceled.
Kids need more kids need to come to Hooters, I guess, because it's awkward. It's such a kid's restaurant. It's all about owls. Everybody loves owls.
Everybody loves owls. But Sonic the Hedgehog is not an owl, last time I checked.
Oh, he's getting another friend, Hootie the Owl.
All right. We're going to open up the Skype line. It's time to hear from you guys. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. If you want to tell us about your local Hooters drama, we'd love to hear it. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype if you want to give us a call. Let me check in with Loki while we wait to see if a call comes in. I do have Skype running. I have to do the whole iPad thing again tonight, but I think it should work. So anyway, meanwhile, I'm going to check in with Loki to see if there's any last-minute stories while we wait for calls.
I didn't really have anything last minute, but did you get to catch the new trailer for the new Tomb Raider?
Oh, the movie.
Yes.
I did. I did watch it, and I totally recognized scenes from the game. Like the whole thing in the boat, that was like the beginning of the game.
Yeah, it looked kind of cool, except for that clicking in the background of the trailer, but I know that was for artistic effect.
Was it? I don't even really
pick
that up. It was
part of the music or whatever, but it was it's neat. I like better than some of the other Tomb Raider movies.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, no, I would go see it. I mean, I never seem to get to go to movies anymore, but I would go see it for sure. So, anyway, we do have a call coming in, so I'm going to try to pick this up here and connect on our Skype line, and we will get to the telephones. Hello, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
This is YYR.
Hey, YYR, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. I guess the iPad is working.
Yes, the iPad is working. It's a little slower to connect, which I don't like, but it works. It gets the job done. What is up,
iPad,
my friend?
iPad, therefore I am. actually, the main reason why I'm calling is because I wanted to answer your inquiry from last week, which you may or may not actually remember. I guess I can see the expression on your face means I should probably remind you.
Shit, I forgot. I forgot that we have a camera now because of this iPad. All right.
Now you have nothing to be ashamed of. It's a fine looking face. So yes, it was. Was mentioning that I came to this realization about the shift keys on a typical keyboard not being the same size.
Yes.
Because I was working on the interface for super multitasking, and you were wondering, why does that matter?
Right.
What does this have to do with the interface?
I do remember this.
So, as you may recall, super multitasking is a game which has you playing multiple games at the same time in various areas of the screen. And now, there's nothing I can do to make this easier, but what I did want to do is give the player as many tools as possible to make playing it at least as frustration-free as possible so that they can focus on actually trying to multitask. So, and one way I do that is by, in each area of the screen where a game can appear, I label what controls are used in that area. For example, in that left side slot where you can use the left stick or the D-pad, I have visual representation of both the left stick and the D-pad. You know, so just in case, you know, there's a game over there. What do I play it with again? Oh, yeah. So now here's the thing. This is the first version of this game that allows you to use the keyboard as well as a controller. But not just that. I don't just set up a configuration and force you to use it. You can define any key configuration you want.
Good man, because accessibility, game. Very important.
But I still wanted to visually represent the keys that you have selected, no matter what keys they were. So I wanted to visually represent all of the different keys in the background. And since some keys are wider than others, if you want to do that properly, well, let's just say I measured all of the key widths on a couple of different keyboards. And yeah.
What did you think of the realization that some shift keys are larger, but some are not?
I think it's kind of like a metaphor for life, really. Mostly about penis sizes.
I think you're just going to have to do your best with that representation, YYR, and it is what it is in that regard. And if somebody really sends you an email that says, you did not accurately represent the shift key on my keyboard, then just take that email and throw it away.
I'll just say I did the best I could. I mean, I hope that there are a few people that are like, wow, that is some crazy attention to detail there.
So we know we need to all review bomb multitasking by saying the shift key. No, it's a positive. It's going to be an uplifting review bomb to say the shift key was appropriately represented.
Well, I just believe in equal representation for all my keys.
Good. Good for you. You're a good man, YYR. any hints on when we might be playing multitasking for ourselves?
I am feverishly trying to complete all of the various and sundry things on my list, some of which weren't there a day ago, but I just keep finding things that I meant to do anyway, but never actually wrote down. So I originally had said fall. I think fall officially ended two days ago,
no,
something like.
Fall just started 2 days ago.
Oh, no. I meant.
Oh, summer.
Wait. Oh, you're right. Yeah, summer. I had said summer.
Then you missed.
So fall just started, and I missed summer. So I'm now saying fall, and I hope I will be able to complete it and release it during the fall. So otherwise, it will be my own fall.
That's all right. Fingers and toes crossed for you that you can do it. It's you know what? You're not the first developer to ever have to delay a release date. So at least you can feel that.
And insert something about a bad game is bad forever. Blah blah blah.
Perfect. You know what? So. What if you guys? What if he'd released the game and the shift key was not right?
Shift gate.
Shift gate.
And with that, we're going to end this call. But thank you, YYR. I really appreciate the phone call. You take care. Okay.
Actually, I'm just going to throw in one more thing.
Yeah.
If you'll allow me.
Of course.
Xbox Live Indie Games delisting is this Friday.
Oh.
So, I'm not just talking about YYR games, all 3,000 plus of them. So if there was anything at any point that you were interested in picking up, do it now, because in 5 days it will all be gone.
The clock is ticking, y'all, and if you're listening on the podcast feed, that's even less time. So this is your last chance to get Bungie Ferret Tossing, at least on the 360, because we're going to hope that maybe YYR is able to move these games somewhere else. But
you'll see it again.
Good.
I guarantee see it again.
Good, good, good. All right. Well, my friend, I'm going to let you go so we can try to take some more calls. But thanks so much. I appreciate the update.
Have a great week, everyone.
Hey, you too, buddy. Take care.
Take it easy. Yep.
All right. That's YYR, everybody, here on the Skype line. We are going to open it up for some more calls. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. If you would like to give us a call, check in with Loki to see if there's any other things you want to bring up there.
No, I don't have anything.
Nothing else.
Sadly,
oh,
yeah.
My gosh. Let's see, going to our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. ActDef saying, I didn't like the trailer. I found it meh, talking about the Tomb Raider thing we were talking about before that last call. Dungeon Buster says, the Tomb Raider trailer was neat. The poster was meh. There you go. Let's see, MXC in chat says, I have so many Xbox Live indie game titles. Yeah, I had quite a few too, but I haven't plugged in my Xbox 360 in the longest time. It's sad, but there's just not a lot. I mean, with the backwards compatibility now on Xbox One, there's very little that I would need the 360 to play. And it's like, I've got enough between Xbox, or between the PlayStation 4, the Switch, Xbox One. I've got enough so that I'm not on 360. So
they have a game that just hit early access, Ballistic NG, which you may not recognize that, but it is a Wipeout type clone that's on Steam.
Like the racing game.
Yeah, and it has, I think, I want to say market or the Steam. I think you can do customized stuff in there. Maybe not. I don't know. Hmm. They have a modding API, so that's kind of cool. But you can check it out. It's $5.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah.
That's a good price. All right. One last call for calls. It's your last chance. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype if you want to give us a call.
And actually, now that I look at this, it's been out for a while. My mistake. I'm just learning about it now, though.
Good job, Loki.
We're just only about a year and 2 months late.
YYR suggests if you want to read up on Xbox Live Indie Games super quickly, try the XBLIG, Xbox Live Indie Games, XBLIG, the XBLIG.com or IndieGamerChick.com. Both sites have a ton of reviews. Yes, they do. All right. Well, I am not hearing our Skype line light up, so I think that is going to do it for the Skype line tonight. Sorry if you were trying and you couldn't get through for whatever reason, but you can always, send us an email at participate@orangeloungeradio.com or you can always send us a tweet, twitter.com/OLR. But I guess for tonight, we are going to wrap up. I know it was a little bit of a shorter show tonight, but we didn't have Dark Soccer tonight. And well, you know, it's a little just not as much to say tonight. Some weeks are just a little slower than others, but that's all right. We'll be back again to do it in 7 days. If you liked what you did hear, you know, we did fill a good 2 hours here at Orange Lounge Radio tonight. So if you did like what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word because we are the show where every gamer has a voice. But, you know, if the voices aren't here, we can't really air them. So a nice 5-star review on a site like iTunes, Google Play, or wherever it is you found this show goes an awful long way. I think we should probably wrap it up with some final thoughts. Loki, your final thought tonight?
My final thought is I'm going to work on more Lego stuff this week. Actually, I've been using a lot of the digital designer, so it's been fun. I've been trying to do a mock of my house, but the problem is it's so huge. It's just like it's going to take up 4 base plates, so that's way too big. That's going to take up like a whole table. Yeah. So I need I'm trying to shrink it down. But it's hard to shrink down a floor plan of a house.
All right. And my final thought tonight is I need to make sure I play something new this week. I'm enjoying playing the same old games like Overwatch and stuff. I need to make sure I play something new this week. So I will do that. So for now, though, we're going to wrap up. We'll see you back here in 7 days. Hopefully Dark Sakura's back with us. And believe it or not, we're going to be in October by the next time we're back. Time flies, you guys. Yep. It's crazy. Anyway, that's going to do it for tonight. Until next time, thanks for listening to Orange Lounge Radio, and good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.